about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Can you stop humming that? We can listen to a CD. You like Metallica? The Black Album?
No.
Taylor Swift? My wife got me into her.
No.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Yeah, Bean, I just got back from 2 weeks on a cruise ship for my honeymoon. You know what the best part of the trip was? It wasn't the endless food or the lobster tails or the beautiful ocean. It was the fact that I didn't have to hear your goddamn mouse clicking for 2 whole goddamn weeks. Move your microphone, asshole!
Wait, where are you getting this from?
I need meat.
Big fan of the show. I gotta tell you, watching it makes me very manic, depressive, and brings out my bipolar syndrome.
I can relate.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We doing this? Let's do this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Clean bourbon.
Roll another one.
I need meat.
Just like
girlfriend, Kevin.
This one seems to be about quitting.
You don't know that girl well enough to be screwing her.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
I would have a hard time doing that.
Roll.
Stuff for my friend.
Just like the other one.
They never fail to disappoint.
This one seems to be about to end.
He is certainly entertaining.
I don't have another cent.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, let me finish what I'm eating. Sorry. Wrong time to eat.
If you're white, you don't belong here tonight.
Just pass it around.
What am I going to do with you kids?
And now, we eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
Our feature presentation.
I do not want to hear about Joan Rivers' parts.
No.
Being dirt.
God.
That's a thing, though, that happens, right?
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't know.
She doesn't need to share.
No.
That's private and personal.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It is the 8th of August.
Finally, Friday. This was one of those 5-day weeks that took 11 days.
Because
yeah, well,
of Kevin.
I made a mistake on Tuesday, for some reason, saying that tomorrow's Friday.
So then, it for everyone.
So then that's in our head every day. We go, well, tomorrow must be, because I remember that guy saying it earlier.
That's right.
It just
I think
isn't.
That's exactly what it was. I think you psyched us out.
Yeah.
Well, we got a terrific show planned for you today. We're trying something new. But first, let's start with this story. No woman's name given in the article, but she is in India. And she has... here's the thing about India, and I've not been. It's something I think I'm saving for... when I don't have a job, because I think India is the type of place like China that you want to go and you need a month.
Oh,
it's such
I do
a
too.
Huge
yeah.
country and there's so many things you want to see. You can't do India in 5 days. You just can't. But I think the thing is that in some ways it is as modern a country as exists on the planet Earth with, you know, high tech, beautiful cities and technology and progressive attitudes. But I think there's a lot of places in India where they're basically still living like they did 200 years ago.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this story caught my interest, because here's a woman who had been acting strangely for 4 years and having some health problems, not feeling well. But her family thought she was under the spell of black magic. So they took her to the temple and they took her to witch doctors and they, you know, had been casting spells and everything. And eventually it got to the point where she was feeling poorly. 35 years old, by the way. She was feeling poorly enough that they actually took the trip into the city and took her to a real doctor. And I guess that's not something that you think of, is you don't have access maybe to first-class medical care in some of these little villages in India. So they took her to the hospital, and the doctors do an x-ray, and it turns out that she has 152 metal objects in her stomach.
Oh, is she one of those people that swallows it?
Yes, stuff? She's one of those people who swallows, yeah, in her case, metal.
Say it again, Lisa.
And I said it so well.
You did.
Her stomach was almost hanging close to her pelvic bone. Now, you'd think that that would be the type of thing that would be a heads up, you know, before you get 4 years into this, right?
Yeah, well, you would also think that at some point she would tell everybody who's all worried about her, hey, I'm eating stuff.
Right.
I know what's wrong with me.
Wow.
What's the deal with these syndromes? We hear about people who eat dirt and, you know, people who eat cardboard or plastic. I mean, there's just – is it a mental thing, Lisa, or is it something that your body thinks you need that you're trying to compensate for, well, like when your dog eats grass?
You know, at least with the dirt, I have heard that it is compensating for some minerals that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that cardboard and metal necessarily come into that.
Well, let's
see. I think that sounds more mental.
Let's see what they pulled out of her at the Rajiv Gandhi Government General Hospital. They were surprised she did not have esophageal injuries.
Yeah.
She had exhibited breathlessness and a bloated stomach. She arrived at the hospital anemic and malnourished with blood loss because of the sharp objects in her stomach. A 90-minute surgery to remove 96 nails, small nails, 23 large nails, an assortment of screws, coins, a hairpin, and a key.
Good Lord.
And I bet somebody was like, that's where the key is.
I've been looking for that for 4 years.
Now I can get in the garage. They said it looked like a tumor when they opened up her stomach because of all the metal that was, you know, that was in a ball in her tummy.
Oh,
but
my God.
That's gross.
Isn't that crazy? 152 metal objects.
How are they going to keep her from doing it again?
That's a great question. That's a great question.
Wow.
Her brother said, we never had any idea that she had been swallowing these objects. So, I mean, I don't know whether that's the type of thing they can, if it's a mental illness, is it something they can help or not? We don't know. Mm-hmm. Or they're just going to have to keep eyes on her. I don't know. But
there's only one thing to do, and that's for TLC to get over there and do Strange Addictions.
Yeah,
that's a great
true.
Idea.
She's got a TV show out of this.
Yeah, if she's going to do it, let's at least get it on film, right?
That's awesome.
So there you go. Good times.
And by awesome, I mean terrible. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You know, that right there is a lie.
Let's all talk about making bucks. Let's all talk about making bucks. Foxy lady.
That ugly chick, that's the one we're talking to?
Yeah, that one.
She's going to talk to us today about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm. And we won't hear a word of it.
Probably not.
You don't care.
We probably won't.
That's why I'm promoting the idea that she's the ugly one. I think that's the only way I can handle it in my head is if I just imagine her as being like super beastie.
Oh, yeah. That's easy
then
to
I,
do,
then
too.
I can talk to her. It'll be fine.
Right.
It won't be all weird because, you know.
Oh, it's going to be all weird.
I hope not. I don't want it to be weird.
Oh, it is. I'm not asking. I'm just saying we all know it's going to be weird, and we know it's going to be weird because of certain people being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so contain yourself, Lisa.
Okay.
Eric Sanchez is a name you may not know. This is the guy who went on Kickstarter to get Kenny Loggins to play his living room.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Strange. We're going to talk to him today.
Okay.
Looks like it's going to happen, by the way.
He's on Jimmy Kimmel 2 nights ago, Bean.
Looks like it's good. Looks like it's well on the way to happening.
We also have, we're going to talk about celebrity impersonators. That seems like a terrible job. And B, any party you're at where there is one is a terrible party.
I totally agree.
There's nothing good about celebrity impersonators, right?
I think you're right about that.
It just seems like they're obviously not the person.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And so what do they do? What do they say? It just can go south in so many ways.
I think the only exception would be if it's a show. If you're going to see somebody pretend to be Led Zeppelin, that maybe there's some value in those kinds of, or Mini Kiss, there's some value in that kind of celebrity impersonator because they're playing music.
If they could play, yeah.
Right, exactly. But if it's just, you know, if it's a guy who comes out who's not Dave Chappelle and he's telling jokes, there's nothing there for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, not Dave Chappelle. And then we've got... That's coming up. Shark After Dark is a show that's part of Shark Week, and Josh Wolf is the host of that. So we're going to talk to him today on the
program. He's very funny. It's a very good show.
And we have tickets for we have the movie beat because it's Friday, and we have tickets for The Expendables 3.
Awesome.
So that's coming up as well. As a matter of fact, we have those tickets coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
And that looks like Ralph Garman with the first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
You all right, Kevin? You okay?
Am I all right?
Yeah. I just know your boyfriend's retiring. I thought maybe you were sick today.
Yeah. That's a bummer. Total bummer.
Yeah. It's all right. You guys have more time to spend time together.
Not my boyfriend.
That's the upside.
I've enjoyed he won't be traveling as much and stuff.
Enjoyed right. watching his career and played a lot for the Galaxy and the U.S. men's national team.
Landon said he's looking forward to falling down on his own time now that he doesn't have to do it professionally anymore, which I thought is great. That's good for him.
By the way, I know the job must be getting in your way, Kevin, because you haven't tweeted about it in almost 15 minutes.
Let's take a look at
you're
the
right,
show.
I'll get on that.
Show business news. We got it. It's new. It's fresh. It's happening. World premiere. K-Rock. K-Rock. The latest from singer, songwriter, rapper, producer, creative genius, Patrice Wilson.
Yay!
That's not the dude that came up with Fridays, is it?
Yes, it is.
Friday,
and
Friday.
You will speak about him with reverent tones, if you don't mind. The musical genius who gave us the smash hit Friday, also It's Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
Can't forget Chinese Food by Allison Gold.
Oh, sure. Right.
I love Chinese food. Yeah.
He's halfway to a greatest hits album at this point.
Well, Patrice is still hungry with his latest hit. He's gone from taking prepubescent girls and turning them into pop stars into turning aging never-was pop stars into weird, creepy, dressing up like young girl pop stars. The video is disturbing on many, many levels, least of which is the amazing songwriting that Patrice offers up. The song is Cupcakes. He's still hungry.
Yep.
Lyrics to listen for. Give me one of those cupcakes. Give me one of those cupcakes with the sprinkles on the top, with the sprinkles on the top, with the sprinkles on the top. Give me one of those cupcakes. Give me one of those cupcakes with the sprinkles on the top, with the sprinkles on the top, with the sprinkles on the top.
Really?
It's an anthem for our generation, I believe.
Second verse, same as the first.
Here's a little taste of Cupcakes.
It was the perfect day. It was so hot. We had our sunscreen on, sunglasses. And then, are they kidding me? They kick us out? I mean, why don't they let you anywhere? I mean, the beach is where we should be.
I'd like to thank Beer Mug for sending in the entire song.
Yeah, we could have used a
maybe an edit to the
maybe
good
the
part.
Hook. Maybe the hook to that part would have been
right.
good.
Should I keep going? Or?
Well, we're into it now.
There it is.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Boy, what it is. He sure has a formula, does he? I mean, all of these songs are identical, Ralph.
Yeah, and this Gina Naomi Baez, who's singing the song, she's got to be 35 if she's a day.
Really?
And she's dressing like in little short skirts and little bobby socks. It is just creepy. She got a little dog
Tinkerbell. She had her $12,000 or whatever it took, though, right?
She wrote the check out, and so Patrice said, I've got an idea. What do I want to eat after Chinese food? I'll have some cupcakes for dessert. I promise you in the next hour, I'll play you Patrice's rap from the center of
which
the song.
Which he always does.
He always makes an appearance in every video and in every song he raps. And this is pretty spectacular.
Who do we know in this room that wants to be part of a band that should maybe go to Patrice?
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe Chip could star in one of his new songs.
That's maybe she could have a hit.
Yeah. I like
Chip.
It.
I am smaller than a cupcake could be the new single. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dustin Hoffman, 77 years old today. Creed singer Scott Stapp turns 41. Actress Megan Good, and yes, she is, 33 years old today. Roger Federer, the tennis player, turns 33. And The Edge, Dave Evans of U2. What a great guitarist. He is 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
More tickets for you to go see Expendables 3 4 days before it's in theaters a week from today. We got those later for you this hour. Also, comedian Josh Wolf will be here from Shark After Dark and an actress named Megan Fox. That's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, how about the Kevin Bean Afro Line? This is where you call us. It's our voicemail. Then we put it on the radio at 323-520-AFRO anytime, any topic.
I got to tell you, there was a raindrop over the weekend.
Yes, there was.
Or this week. When was it?
I think it was last week.
I think it was Saturday because it was raining at Beyonce.
Yep. And this person, very, very happy.
Oh, my God. It's raining.
Yeah. I ran my hose the whole night just because I could.
Oh.
Right? Because we're no longer?
No.
What?
No.
Yeah, I want to know about that gentleman up there in Seattle, why we can hear his mouse clicking all the time. You run a high-quality program. We shouldn't be hearing the mouse clicking all the time. But when he's down in Los Angeles, we don't hear a mouse clicking. So they need to do a better job up there in Seattle. Thank you.
I love that guy so much.
He's the best, first of all.
I love him.
Everything he's saying is also 100% accurate, except for the high-quality program.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
And when I tell Bean we can hear his clicking, he goes, no, you can't. You can't hear it on the air.
That's not the only thing I say. I also say I've bought every mouse that is available for sale that advertises itself as a quiet or quieter mouse, and none of them make any difference because of the setup of the studio and the fact that I have to hit a lot of things while we're on the air, while we're talking. You know, all the sound effects, all the little sound bites that I play all come off of a mouse.
That is, it's not the only thing that annoys people about Bean.
Hey, Bean, it's August 4th today. Happy 1/3, 4th of July. You and your stupid holidays.
Wow, I haven't been keeping track on how far out we are for 4th of July. That's great. Thank you, sir.
Kids, not happy with Bean today.
Bean, stop saying rut-row. You're not Scooby-Doo.
That's a good point.
Rut-row.
I love rut-row.
You are not Scooby-Doo. I mean, that's hard to argue.
That is true, yeah.
You guys know the Ebola song.
Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch your friend. Don't touch it.
Bean, he's creepy. He has no friends. Bean, he's creepy. Don't talk to him. Ebola, he probably has. You're pretty.
Hey, is this Bean Pinata Day? What's going on? What the hell is happening with all these Afro calls?
These are the calls that come in.
Uh-huh.
So this is the response to the Kevin and Bean show.
No one's calling about Mugs or Ralph or you, Lisa, Dave, no one, just me.
Well, so far, here is a here's a call about you that's positive, Bean.
Okay.
Hey, so I was driving around in L.A. last Friday, and I saw a really, really nice Mustang. I think it was you, Bean. Nice car. Really nice car. There's some a-hole in an orange Mustang. I don't know what he was doing, but Bean, I gotta say, you got great taste in cars, buddy.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Got a lot of love for the Mustang that I rented last week when I was down for Breakfast with Arcade Fire.
A complaint?
There's a video of Chris Pratt rapping an Eminem song. How have you not played that yet? You're the worst. I love Star-Lord. Fire beer mug.
All extra points.
We did put it in the internet roundup. I believe it was yesterday,
yes.
But it was easy to miss. This is Chris Pratt for reals. Rapping on a radio station.
What do you say to somebody you hate? What? Anyone trying to maintain your way? Want to resolve things with the money you wait? We just study your tape of NWA. One day I was walking by with the walk on. When I caught a guy giving a knock on eye, dragging him off with the parking lot. You know, I don't give a f- it's dark or not.
And he keeps going. It's amazing.
He's unbelievable.
And by the way, we should mention for folks who haven't seen the video, and you can see it in Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup at KROQ.com that we posted yesterday. It's not like he's in a studio trying to lay down a cover version of this. This was off the top of his head in a radio interview. Then somebody went in after the fact and put it with the music, and of course it lines up perfectly. He just knows every single word of that album.
We were talking about Famous Ralphs, trying to come up with Famous Ralphs, yes. And this guy called
Ralph Fiennes, Ralph Macchio, Ralph White, Ralph Bellamy, Ralph Ineson. King Ralph, Ralph Brown, Saint Ralph, Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay.
Sounds very annoyed with us, doesn't he?
Is there a Saint Ralph? Does that exist for real?
I don't know Saint Ralph. I remember the John Goodman movie, King Ralph. I remember that one, but I don't know about a Saint Ralph.
People love me.
Kevin, did you really call the drink called the Yard about 2.5 feet tall?
I'm guessing it's 3 feet tall, 4 yards.
Idiot.
Yeah, we had Kathy Griffin in. She was talking about the yard, which is 3 feet tall, and for some reason, Bean referred to it as 2.5.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And I like those the drinks in what's called a yard. You know what this is?
Sure.
Like a yard long.
Yes.
And then I like when
and
you
it's
see
like 2.5 feet tall.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, that happened. What was I thinking? I have no idea. Podcast listener.
Hey, yeah, I was just listening to the podcast, Thursday's podcast, and you're just comparing to Kevin's like glorious day of F-ups. I still think his Grammy performance is way better. Can we hear that again? Can we hear that again? Oh yeah, and Firebird Mode.
Come on, that was like 10 years ago, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it was a great day though.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph?
Yes, sure enough it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, John Perry, and Robert Randolph.
Joe Perry.
What did I say, John?
Shit.
Yeah, that happened. And it was a lot longer than that, but we don't have much time for that because of the following song that has been sent to us, which I believe is probably going to be the next biggest thing in the world.
What's happening?
What do you mean, what's happening? Sam is singing a song.
Listen to that.
What's wrong with you?
God.
What's happening?
What's he whistling?
I don't know.
I feel like we should know this.
That's pretty strong. I mean, he dedicates himself to that one. He really throws himself in.
Does he just call the Afro Line and give a concert?
Most of the time, yeah. Yeah, and he left some other songs, but we don't have time for those. We'll have to get to them next time. But 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Nice.
Remix.
Ruff, no one ever used that, as far as I saw, in a television commercial to advertise a sale, as you predicted they would. And I think that's a missed opportunity for some company out there, don't you?
Yeah, just like I always thought, Glycerin by Bush.
Uh-huh. Right.
Listerine was just right around the corner. Just
begging
up,
for it.
Just change
absolutely.
A little bit. Listerine! I would buy that mouthwash if I heard that song.
Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show here on a Friday morning. Your last chance to win your premiere passes for The Expendables 3. You get to see it on the 11th at the TCL Chinese Theater. It's in theaters next Friday the 15th. If you want to go, we'll give you a chance to earn those tickets. If you're a fan of The Expendables movies and those stars, give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game coming up. And speaking of movies, it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man. Who risked everything?
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, Bean, enough with your movies of the future. Let's talk about the movies of right now. Let's live in the moment. All these movies are in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. A wide variety of things for you to check out. Including this one, which looks pretty cool. It is James Cameron. You know, besides his love of filmmaking, his other passion is deep sea diving.
Yes.
He is not only a diver, but has also invented much technology when it comes to getting to the bottom of the ocean and checking things out and looking at the Titanic and other things. This documentary is in 3D, and it chronicles his diving expeditions in the Deep Sea Challenger submarine. Looking at cool stuff like the Mariano Trench, for example. Here's James talking about his adventures in the bottom of the ocean.
I've seen some pretty astonishing things in the depths. Things that fill your soul with wonder.
Cousteau said it best. He said if we knew what was there, we wouldn't have to go.
Challenger Deep in the Mariana Trench is the deepest place on Earth, 7 miles straight down. This is the last great frontier of our world. It's my dream to build a machine to take us there.
We're actually going to do things that the governments of the world cannot now do. We're going to do something nobody else can do.
Pretty cool. And a good use of 3D,
I
think,
in my
opinion.
That sounds cool.
This is the kind of thing you want to see in 3D, because I can imagine that stuff looks fascinating.
I bet. And you know what I love about James Cameron is he's the richest guy in Hollywood. he doesn't have to do anything. So he only pursues passion projects. Yeah. And that I think that really comes through.
What If? It's a film in limited release this weekend. A romantic comedy starring Daniel Radcliffe, where he doesn't grow horns or anything in this, as far as I can tell. Megan Park and Adam Driver also star in the film. He plays a guy who's burned out from a string of failed relationships, and he forms a bond with a young lady who lives with her longtime boyfriend. What does it mean if your best friend is also the love of your life and she's with someone else? Oh, the complications. Here's a scene from What If where Daniel Radcliffe's character Wallace is being questioned at a dinner party by a guy who thinks, and rightly so, that he's trying to sleep with his girlfriend.
And so, Ben, what is it exactly that you do?
UN?
I've heard of an international consortium of lawyers with a UN mandate to negotiate global copyright standards.
Wow.
But more importantly, are you trying to sleep with my girlfriend? Don't worry, we're just talking guy, okay? They think we're still talking about international copyright law.
No, I wouldn't do that. I just want to be friends with her. And with you.
Friends is fine. Okay, I can do friends. But you better not try and put your penis near her.
Okay.
That's a fair warning.
Don't try to put your penis near her. About Alex is a movie also in limited release starring Jason Ritter and Maggie Grace and Max Greenfield from New Girl. This is a movie which pays so much homage to the movie The Big Chill that they should have just called it The Big Chill. Really?
Yeah.
It is pretty much a reboot, except for the fact that in The Big Chill, they all got together for the funeral of a friend. In this film, they all get together for a guy who tried to commit suicide but was unsuccessful. So there's one slight little twist is the focus of the movie is still alive. His name is Alex, and a group of college friends reunite over a long weekend, trying to find out why he committed suicide. And, of course, in the interim, while they're all together, old crushes come back, and resentments rear their ugly head, and friendships and relationships are pushed to the limit. Here are some clips from the trailer about Alex.
Where's Isaac? Is he up here yet with the new lady friend?
Why does Isaac think it's appropriate to bring
a date? How is it inappropriate?
That
was this close to bringing a date. She canceled at the last minute. She had a thing.
I think we should have somebody with Alex at all times.
No. Don't tell me that we're having a party in honor of my suicide.
Attempted suicide.
Alex.
Jesus, Alex. You wanted to see all of us. You could have shot us an email.
See how it is.
See how that works?
Cast.
Yeah. Looks good. Not going to see it, but it looks good.
Big Chill's still available on Blu-ray and DVD, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
That's old, though.
You can check that out. But it's really good.
Yeah. Who's got time?
If you got time to watch the remake, why wouldn't you have time to watch the original?
I said I probably won't see it, but it looks good.
All right. The 100-Foot Journey. You definitely won't see this, Kevin. Helen Mirren stars in this film directed by Lasse Hallström. About a family that clashes with a woman who owns a celebrated French restaurant.
Yes.
When they open their own restaurant nearby.
Yes.
And, of course, the battle over their young gifted chef heats up between the two restaurants.
See, one is an Indian restaurant.
See?
Oh, my God.
Very different.
You can imagine the clash of cultures and cuisine.
I'm excited about
the battles
movie.
Between
Dear
restaurants.
God,
this is going to be great.
I want to beat myself to death with Lisa.
Don't go if you're hungry. It'll kill
Don't
you.
Don't go if you're hungry.
Don't go if you're not hungry.
Delicious.
You'll just want croissants and curry
exactly.
When you're all done with the 100-foot journey. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Last night, we served this. In this restaurant, the cuisine is not an old, tired marriage. It is a passionate affair.
I want to buy this restaurant.
Bonjour. This is private property.
Excuse me, do you own this property?
No.
Oh, that means you are trespassing too.
100 feet across the street, the restaurant has a Michelin star. The President of France dines there.
Can Mr. President order murg masala, cooked the way Hassan cooks?
People here don't eat those things.
They have never tried. Now they shall.
All right. Lisa can't wait.
That's a thing.
I can't wait. I'll let you know how it is on Monday.
We don't even
you
want
what?
You to let us know.
We don't even
want
to know. We don't
want
to know. Keep
you
it to yourself.
Know.
This should be your little secret.
Because I'm betting it's great.
This should be your little pleasure that you keep
I
for
would
yourself.
Not want
We're perfectly good without understanding that.
Don't share it. It'll diminish the magic,
right.
Lisa. If you don't give away what's in
well,
your soul.
Well, I don't want crowds to just rush the movie.
Sure.
So I'll tell you each privately.
You know what? I think you're okay. Step Up. All In.
That's Dave's movie.
This is the one Dave can't wait for.
I'm also going to see this.
What?
I've seen all
it's
Step Up.
What's wrong with you?
Right,
I've seen every Step Up movie.
Ralph?
Have I not?
Lisa, I apologize.
Thank you.
Because another douchey film about people dancing against each other is...
Well, how do you go
the least necessary thing put on celluloid.
I don't know. It's just awesome.
It's not awesome.
No, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not. This is not something that I'm proud of. Like, if you were to say, what's your movie taste? I wouldn't bring up Step Up, but I always go.
If you've seen Step Up.
Since I formed the Jabberwockies with the King of Mexico.
If you've seen any of the Step Ups, you've seen this one. Here are some clips from the trailer.
We win this dance competition, we get on with the show.
So we putting a crew together or what?
Hell yeah.
If we're going to be a crew, who's going to be in charge?
I am.
Oh, no.
You got yourself a new crew. Y'all come to see some real dancing?
Does this always have to end up in a big, giant dance battle?
Yes, it does. Or else there's no movie.
You don't find it fun.
Are we putting together a crew? Hell yeah! Who's that passionate about their dance crews? Oh, I know. Nobody ever. Even the people who do this for a living go, you want to join the crew? Let me check my schedule. If I have an opening, I'll come by. I'll dance.
Dance
with you guys.
Battles okay. Are awesome to
but,
me.
You know
I find
why?
Them funny.
Because they don't exist.
All right, maybe, yeah.
You know, no maybes.
All right.
I spent a lot of time driving around the Southern California. I've never run across two groups of people just dancing at each other in the streets.
And they look at each other like they're so tough.
And somehow something comes out of it where the winner gains something than embarrassment.
Dance or die, I'm in.
You should die. Forget the dance part. Just go right to the die. Into the Storm. Remember Twister?
Yep.
This is that, only with more.
Okay.
There you go. Put that on your poster. It is, it's a big storm. The storm trackers go after the storm, and guess what they find?
A storm.
Storm.
And yeah. Debris.
And it's a lot of stuff flying around, and goats flying, and buildings crashing, and storms.
All right.
And it's Into the Storm.
Are we supposed to run or don't I go?
That?
Well, I might go to that.
Hey, don't laugh. You can't laugh at somebody saying run from a storm, Kevin. I've actually seen that happen. I've never seen people dance against each other.
Why do you hate Ralph?
Because you blow! And lastly, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yay!
Mother effers. They're back. They're heroes in a half shell.
That they are.
It is the story of the four turtles who, of course, through a series of wild circumstances, get mutated into giant mutant ninja turtles. And then they fight crime.
Could happen.
Along their friend April O'Neil, the fearless reporter. She is the Lois Lane to their four super turtles. And they have to save the town against the evil Shredder. All your favorite characters are here. Megan Fox stars as April O'Neil. Will Arnett. William Fichtner. Great cast. Looks like a lot of action. Swords. Turtles. What more do you need?
And more realistic than the Step Up movie.
Absolutely. More believable than people dancing at each other. Here are some clips from the trailer of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You go.
My sons, I have trained you your whole lives to protect the city above. But I fear you are not ready for its greatest threat.
We're taking your armor to the next level.
Shredder. You must stop Shredder. Together. You are stronger than he can ever be. Let's go save my brothers.
Come on!
And then they have a dance battle?
Take on the evil Foot Clan!
What's a Foot Clan?
It's the bad guys! They're the Foot Clan! Oh, cannot wait. Cannot wait for turtles. Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Comedian Josh Wolf, host of Shark After Dark. You know, Shark Week starts on Discovery this Sunday night. We'll be talking all about that with Josh coming up next hour here on KROQ. First, though, we want to hook you up with tickets for The Expendables 3. You get to see it on the 11th. It's opening everywhere on the 15th. Of course, this is the Sylvester Stallone franchise with every action star in the world in it. And we welcome Sylvester Stallone to the studio with us right now.
Mostly Sylvester Stallone franchise.
Right. I mean, sure. It is kind of your baby, right?
It's my baby.
Yeah.
It's my wife and my baby.
Right.
And my dog.
All right.
Okay. Hey, listen, Sly, we got
to... You know, it's my movie.
Right.
What I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Understood. You get the credit. We got a bunch of people.
A lot of other people. Yeah, but it's mostly Sylvester Stallone movie. You know,
understood.
What I'm saying?
A lot of people on hold. What is it you're going to be asking them to do?
All right. All the other people in the movie, the lesser people all in the movie, have also been in other movies.
Okay.
So if you're really a fan of The Expendables, if I play you a scene from one of their movies, then you will know what movie it is. You'll say, oh, there's that guy from that movie.
Okay.
Now, we tried this yesterday late in the show, and it didn't go very well.
Well, first of all, beer mug.
Okay.
You have that guy working for you.
Right.
And it makes it very difficult to do things that you want to do.
All right.
But we have better clips this time, I think.
Okay.
And so I'll play a clip, and they say, oh, that's this guy, and this is the movie that he's in.
And this,
right?
And this is called what?
It's called... They are the Expendables. The roles they play. They fire guns and blow you away. The roles they play. They are the Expendables.
Very nice. All right, so we
they are Expendables. They are Expendables.
You should make an album.
I should make an album because I'm an excellent singer.
That's what I'm saying.
People say all the time, your voice, you know, is so soothing. They are Expendables. Yeah.
Not sure if soothing's the word I would come up with. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
That would be Nathan from Woodland Hills. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good, Nathan. Here's a clip from a movie. You listen to it, you say, oh, this is this guy from this movie.
All right, gentlemen, let's review. The year is 2032. That's 2032, as in the 21st century. And I am sorry to say that... The world has become a whipped Brady Bunch version of itself. Run by a bunch of robed sissies.
All right. Who's the actor? What's the movie?
Is that Harrison Ford, Blade Runner?
No. It's Wesley Snipes, the Demolition Man.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Although a lot of people do get Wesley Snipes and Harrison Ford confused.
Well, this is a future thing, you know? These guys just trying to use his head, all right?
Easy mistake to make.
Jason in Covina, hi.
What's happening, guys? Party people?
Hey, here's your clip.
Hey, listen to me. Chewie, this won't help me. Hey, save your strength. There'll be another time. The princess, you have to take care of her.
You hear me? Huh?
All right, now we need a specific title for that one.
Like with all of them.
Star Wars?
Yes. I'm sorry, what?
Harrison Ford, Star Wars?
No, it's Ford, but The Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, because this one is going to be frozen.
That's what I was trying to say the whole thing, because if you said Star Wars, it's not enough.
Yeah. 0-2. Tyler in Huntington Beach, hi.
Hey, what's up? Haley Smith.
Hello.
Tyler, listen up. Here's your clip.
Those magic beings were my score. You just caused me a chance at getting the golden axe, mi amigo. Put up your turks. Very well. If it is to be a last fight,
good job.
He doesn't even want me to finish.
Well, it's a long clip, much longer than it needed to be.
Yeah, I had all three before.
Yeah, he was right.
Take
yeah.
it easy.
You're good, man.
You're the man, Tyler. You're Tyler the creator.
You win. You win. Let's go to Robert in Whittier.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, Robert, here's your clip from that guy from that movie.
Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that? For one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
That is Mel Gibson from Braveheart.
Yeah!
Nicely done.
I should have played that movie.
Well, I think you did a pretty good job on that
one.
No,
I should have been Braveheart.
Okay. Okay. Uh-huh.
You never take our freedom!
But no one understood what you said, though, I think.
All right.
Pete... And Bell, hi.
Hi, hello.
This next clip is the greatest movie ever made with one of the greatest actors who ever acted.
Okay.
Fight said, I don't need no manager. Hey, look, hey, Mick, I need your help about 10 years ago, right? 10 years ago? You never helped me. You didn't care.
Well, if you wanted help. I say, if you wanted help, why didn't you ask? Why didn't you just ask me, kid?
Look, I asked, but you never heard nothing.
All right. Movie and actor.
Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon.
I don't like you at all.
All right, let me just throw something out there. Sylvester Stallone is hosting, and he said this might be the greatest movie. And then there's a lot of talk about boxing and a trainer and Mickey.
Oh, Rocky.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That would have been a better guess, actually. Yeah. Rocky.
I was set, Mick. I don't need your help now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm getting
not
too
so
old
much Mel Gibson
ass
in that one.
Yeah. I'm a cop, and I'm crazy. I didn't say that. That would have been Lethal Weapon.
I think we have time for one, maybe two more guys.
All right, let's go to Joey at Ucaipa.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Joey. Here's your clip.
Dr. Miles.
Doc, what took you so long?
Jesus Christ. Sorry, Chevy. I just got the message.
Okay. Forget it. Listen, I'm dying. I've been poisoned with some kind of Chinese synthetic.
What?
Yeah, you've got to do something for me, Doc. I'm telling you now.
What are your symptoms?
It's like I'm slowing down, you know? I'm caught in a tar pit.
Name of the actor, name of the movie.
It was Jason Statham from Crank.
Yeah.
Nicely
done.
All right. We have better contestants today than we had yesterday,
nice batch this
except
morning.
Except for that guy who didn't know Rocky.
Well, that was
a very popular film for a lot of people.
Kind of a giveaway.
Just saying.
Gary in Long Beach. Hi.
Good morning, Mr. Stallone, Kevin B.
Good morning to you, Gary. I appreciate you using my proper name and all. You know, it's very polite of you. Here's a clip for you, and you name the guy in the movie.
I'm a friend of Sarah Connor. I was told that she's here. Could I see her, please?
No, can't see her. She's making a statement.
Where is she?
Look, it may take a while. You want to wait? There's a bench over there.
I'll be back.
That Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator?
Yeah. Glad you didn't say Lethal Weapon. That would have been really sad.
Well, a bunch of people are going to be seeing Expendables 3 next week. There's Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, they are. Why don't you go see Expendables 3, huh? I'm being a real nice guy. Come here, help you do your game and everything else.
We'll
and
see
you
it.
Don't even say you're going to see it.
We'll see it. I'll see it.
There's no dance-off in it, though.
No, there's no dancing whatsoever. They are expendable. I got a lump in my throat,
guys. You're going to say my words wrong. Well, Lisa's had a lump in her throat for like 3 weeks now.
I know.
What's going on with that?
I don't know.
Not a lump.
What's happening? Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me figure that one out.
That was my question.
Hey, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Talk Shark Week next hour. Megan Fox coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
It's Turtle Power!
Turtle Power indeed.
Patrice Wilson is the greatest singer, songwriter, producer, musician, lyricist of our generation.
And by greatest, you mean?
No, I'm firmly convinced. I've come all the way around. At
really?
First, I thought, oh, that was just a bad song, that one off that Friday he did with Rebecca Black. And then Nicole Westbrook's It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was
then
terrible.
Alison Gold did Chinese Food. I like Chinese food. Yeah! Remember?
Oh, you
and
sure?
And I realized, it's all much deeper, man. We just hadn't seen it. Now that you're peeling back the layers, now that we're getting to the heart of the artichoke, I realize it's all about the human condition. Oh, it's genius.
There's no layers.
I was convinced, finally, by his most recent smash hit on the YouTube, Cupcakes. Because really, it's not about cupcakes at all, man. It's about the soul. It's about what's inside of us.
Where are you getting that?
How do we soothe that anger, that hole we have inside that is created by a lack of human touch? How do we solve that?
Huh.
But it's with cupcakes, man.
Huh.
And by cupcakes, I mean...
I feel like there's no hidden message there,
man.
I think she's just hungry.
The sprinkles are tears, man.
No, how do you know that?
Because it's obvious. It's
so
all there.
We're nourishing the soul.
Yes, thank you, Bean. Finally, someone gets the art of Patrice Wilson.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be a Patrice Wilson song from the Arc Music Factory if he didn't stop all the proceedings and just start rapping.
He does have to rap on every song.
Pretty poorly,
whether
right in the middle of it. Whether it fits or not. Whether it's any good or not. Here's where you get the deeper meaning.
Cupcakes, 4 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm getting hungry.
think you better live by my side. Working all day, working all night. Now it's time to have cupcakes. Everybody put your hands up. Everybody in the house. I never know why I get so hurt for cupcakes. And when I wanna cry, I need more of cupcakes. Somebody please give me some cupcakes. I'll take yours if you're not eating it.
See?
No.
When I want to cry, I need more cupcakes.
I don't see
I'll
that.
I'll take yours if you're not eating it. Don't you see?
I feel like he's the same guy that you are about country music, that you think, as a joke, you could make a hit. It sounds to me like for pop music, he goes, let's see if I can get away with cupcakes.
You don't get it, man. You don't get the depth.
I don't get the depth.
I do like that 4 p.m. in the afternoon, though. That's my favorite of all the 4 p.m.
He doesn't know why he needs those cupcakes, but he does. You know why? Because he's dead inside, man. Oh. Because his soul has a hole in it. How do you, are you going to fill it up with cupcakes? Is that going to work? No.
But the sprinkles are tears?
Tears. Human tears.
Huh. Why are you eating tears if you're already tired?
Don't we all eat our tears, man?
All right. I'm going to have to give it another listen.
Namaste. Hey, join me tomorrow night. I got a double feature coming up with Kevin Smith, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., 8 o'clock. It is our live reading of Batman Meets the Green Hornet, our new comic book that just came out this week. And then at 10 p.m., we're doing our patented Hollywood Babylon show. And we'll be talking all about the pilot for the TV version we just did, as well as doing a Hollywood Babylon live there on the Melrose at the Improv. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets for both shows. We'd love to see you come out and join us. That guy won't be there. Claude Akins won't be there.
Not interested.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars are born today, August the 8th. Dustin Hoffman, 77 years old today. Dave the Edge Evans from U2 is 53.
Take off the hat.
I think he's earned the hat.
He can wear the hat.
Yeah. Take off the hat.
He can wear the hat.
At some point, you and Steven Van Zandt, we love you already. You're talented. We're not going to judge.
But they like the hat.
It's okay that you're bald.
And Slash, let them wear the hat. Yeah, Slash, you take his hat off? How about Pharrell? Does he have to take his smoking bear hat off? Did everybody just lose their hats now?
We've seen, look.
No hats in your world?
You see Pharrell without his hat sometimes. You never see The Edge or Steven Van Zandt without their little dumb bandanas.
They
and
like
that goes
their
for,
hats.
What's his face from Warrant, too? Is it the Warrant guy? Which is the guy, the rocker, the 80s rocker?
I don't know, but I feel like we're getting diminishing returns by trying to come up with older people with hats.
Enough hat talk. But just save it for your podcast.
You know who I'm talking about. Who's the 80s metal star who always wears the
Bret rat? Michaels.
Bret Michaels. Bret Michaels from Poison. There you go. He needs to get rid of his hat, too.
How about singer Jay-Z Shazay? J.C. Shazay.
From NSYNC?
From NSYNC. Can he wear a hat?
Does he wear a hat?
Sure. He's got hair. I don't care.
38 years old today. Actress Megan Good is 33 years old. And tennis player Roger Federer is 33. Where's the bell for
Where's
Megan
the
Good?
Bell for Sorry. Megan Good.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. A little less worry about hats. A little more worry about bells. Do
I'm
your job.
My hattalk.com website.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Shark Week is something that has been a summer television staple for decades, it seems like, on the Discovery Channel. And in recent years, we have fallen in love with a show that airs weeknights at 11 called Shark After Dark with our friend Josh Wolf, who joins us in studio. Here's the theme song from Shark After Dark from the great David Hasselhoff.
It's time to unwind. Take a seat or a drink. And welcome to Shark After Dark. Yeah, I feel it, baby. Josh.
Wow.
He's the host. Terrence tweets. Bob's a shark. And I'm the hawk. Shark After Dark. It's Shark Week, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Wolf joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
That's either the greatest or the worst theme ever, and I can't remember. I can't
it's
tell.
It's both.
Both. Okay.
It is both. It is both. It's not like we wrote that the night before he was going to be on the show, and we just basically ambushed him with it. And he
said, "Will you do this? Here are the lyrics."
He was such a good sport, and we just he said, "Yeah, we'll do it." And it was you're right, the best and the worst.
Well,
theme song of all
the Hoff is either fearless or drunk. I can't tell which in that.
Or both. I'm going to go both with that too.
Excellent performance. Here's what I love about your commitment to great television is the night before you have the Hoff on, you think, hey, let's write a song for him.
You know, that was the best thing about that show is live.
Right.
So the best thing about it is it's constantly changing. And if we came up with an idea, which we did a lot of times 5 minutes before air, we could do it.
Yeah.
That was the beautiful thing about it.
Well, that's the problem with most TV is if you don't come up with it 7 weeks ago, it doesn't get in.
I agree with that. And one of the best things, look, we're creative people and you think of things on the spot. And so the beautiful thing about that show is that because it's live, if I think of someone on the spot, if someone says in my ear, don't do that, I shake them off. I'm like
shake
a pitcher.
Off,
I'm a pitcher on the mound.
Sorry.
If I don't like that sign, I shake it off.
Give me another one. I'm coming with the heat.
So refresh our memory here, Josh. Was last year the first year for Shark After Dark?
Last year was the first year for Shark After Dark. Yes, it was.
And you're back and bigger than ever starting this Sunday night at 11, right?
Back and bigger than ever. We have some bigger celebrity guests because, you know, that it's more of a high-profile show.
Sure.
But we also have – there's more shark programming this year, Discovery's putting on. And last year, not only did Shark Week get more viewers than it ever has before, but our show got a crazy amount of viewers. So they've really amped everything up.
Well, I love the fact that the entire week they show – previous year shark show. I mean, it's pretty much wall-to-wall sharks the whole time, and then at night they show the new ones.
Yeah, yeah, and the new ones, you always wonder, like, well, what are they going to show this year?
Yes. That
they
How many years into it are they, Josh?
I believe 27 years.
Okay, and every year they say, but you've never seen sharks like we have this year for you. How is it possible that they're finding new things to tell us about sharks?
It is a great question, and one that I'm like, well, what are they going to do next year? They seem to have shown up this year again. There's some, like, there's a show called Zombie Sharks.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up, those two words.
Okay. It's not actual zombie sharks.
And it's poorly named. I wanted it to be an actual zombie shark.
I will tell you, we are going to have some Walking Dead people on the show this year who are going to be doing some fun zombie things.
But, okay.
The zombie shark, I wonder how much I can say without giving away. It's more about they've learned a way to almost turn sharks to zombify a shark for an extended period of time. That's in the water, alive.
Who has?
A diver.
People?
A shark expert has figured out a way to...
So basically they paralyze them, but they're fine.
Yes, but with one hand, just a part of the body that really basically shuts them down.
What are you talking about, one hand?
I don't know.
Shark whisperer?
I don't know what... Okay.
Does he put his hand on his forehead and go, sleep?
He puts his hand, there's one scene, and I'll show you, tell you one scene. There's two ways to zombify the shark.
Right.
And one way is sea animals have learned a way to do this to the shark in order to make it prey instead of a predator.
Okay.
So some animals have figured out one way. The other way, a shark expert took a tiger shark that I believe was 10 to 12 feet. It's a big shark that will kill you.
And tiger sharks are aggressive.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
And he started to rub its nose, and there's
what was really going on there, though?
Exactly.
Because that sounds pretty iffy.
You have to be quick because if you're going to put your hand in its
he
nose,
was down on the ocean floor.
Okay,
and the shark comes up, and he just started to rub its nose. And I guess all of its – basically, if you took all of the nerve receptors in our body, that's the nose is the most sensitive part for the shark.
Right.
And it overwhelms them. They say it puts them in a state of ecstasy. And he literally rubbed a 12-foot shark, right, shark, rubbed its nose, and then stood it up on its head. So it was perpendicular. It was basically in a catatonic state, straight up and down. And he just rubbed its nose, and then he let it go, and it kind of shook its head and swam off.
Are you high?
It was. I wish.
You so have to believe
it. But my first question, because I hope I get to talk to him, is that's a theory.
Right.
What if that theory is wrong?
Yeah.
And you've just decided to put your hand right next, because you know what's right next to the shark's nose? The mouth.
The mouth.
Yeah, the back
and
part.
And 75,000 teeth that it has.
Yeah. So, but it was an amazing thing to watch. And the guy was insane. And he tried to do it with a bunch of different kind of sharks. He tried to do it with a great white. And there was another way to zombify the shark, which I won't talk about. But it was an amazing. It's a video you have to see.
And that's the diver you guys call Stumpy, right? That's the one we're talking about?
That's exactly right. He was actually rubbing the shark's nose with his one toe he has left because his hands are gone. Yeah.
Josh Wolf is here, comedian and host of Shark After Dark. We're going to take a quick break. We got many more questions for you about what you're doing on the show this week, but I want to make sure that people understand it. It starts on Sunday, right?
Sunday, August 10th. Yep.
And you're going to be on every night, Sunday through Thursday, with Shark After Dark.
That is right.
Josh is here. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Shark Week begins this Sunday night on the Discovery Channel.
Rob Lowe is the host of Shark Week this year, you guys. And Josh Wolf, in studio with us right now, is the host of Shark After Dark. That's quite a drop-off of quality, isn't it?
Yes. There's no doubt. No, it's a huge drop-off in quality and a huge drop-off in handsome, too. Like that guy has kept it together, hasn't he?
Yeah, he sure has. He's got a pact with the devil or something.
I mean, he has really. I saw him on the billboard, and I'm like, what? I mean, he's got to be 50.
He's in his 50s.
What is going on?
Yeah, it's insane. Well, we see where Discovery Channel's putting their money, that's for sure. So, Josh, we asked you about this off-air, and you just started to tell us, because I was fascinated about this. So you're a comedian they host because you do a terrific job hosting the show, but you're not a shark guy. And last year, for year one of Shark After Dark, they made you swim with sharks.
Yes.
Now, you knew you had to do it for the show and for the comedy, but deep down, you were terrified, right?
I was. My nickname in the water was Brown Cloud.
Okay.
Yeah. My God. I mean,
no explanation needed.
No. I was not. I was really nervous. I for a myriad of reasons. Reason number one is I'm not a good swimmer. I know how to do a breaststroke, but I couldn't swim away from anything quickly.
Right.
I'd never snorkeled before.
Good.
I'd never worn a wetsuit before.
Good.
The ocean frightens me. Forget the sharks.
Okay? All of that is good.
And then did you know? You know this. So the wetsuits are buoyant. So for skilled people, they tie a little weight
on
you.
A weight belt, yeah.
Do you know what it did to me? It sank me like a stone.
What?
I jumped in the water and
really?
Sank. I sank.
But
I
don't they have, can't you take some of them out?
Okay. Panic time.
You wouldn't know.
Wait, and the guy said to me before we went in, you know, he was like, this was on camera. He said, you know, and when you snorkel, when you jump in, you get a blow out the water. And I said, what if you never snorkeled before? And he said, we turn off the cameras, please. They turned off the cameras. And he turned to the people at Discovery. He goes, he can't jump in the water. And they said, why? He said, because on the list of things that could now kill him, sharks are five.
Wow.
Okay, because he's never snorkeled before. He's going to take in water. He's going to drown. There's a weight on him. He's not a good swimmer. He's going to take in water. He's going to sink.
Right.
There's currents in the ocean.
Right.
He said, can you swim? I said, no. He goes, he's going to drift away from the boat. He's going to sink. He's going to die.
Right.
I mean, he listed all these ways that I could sink and die.
Was he saying this stuff out loud?
To my face.
What?
And then he said, he better hope the sharks kill him because at least that'll be quicker. So,
it would be cooler, too.
It would be great, great video.
Yeah.
And the press for the Discovery Channel, if the host of Shark After Dark is eaten by a shark, come on.
Do you know what they can't buy
that kind of press.
No, and you know what they ended up doing to me? They took the weights off my suit,
right?
But they tied me to a rope.
Okay.
So I was, and then they chummed around my head. So
good.
I was basically bait.
Oh, my God. All right, stop right there, Josh.
Yeah. Stop right there.
Yes.
We see these stories, and I know they don't happen all that often, but we've had them this year in Southern California, people getting bit by a shark. It's dangerous to be in the water with sharks. Why is it safe to do what you did, which is to be thrown in intentionally with sharks? Like, how is that okay?
Here's the thing. I would say that it's not dangerous to be in the water with sharks. If the one thing I've learned is, I'll equate it to this. If you were in walking through the jungle,
right,
and you strapped a piece of meat to you,
right,
and a lion ate you, nobody would be like, what is going on? They would be like, well, you shouldn't be in the jungle with a piece of meat on you.
Right.
The water is their domain. That's so – listen, when you get – there's a risk. I wouldn't call it dangerous. But, you know, if you've stepped into the Santa Monica Pier,
yeah,
and you've been in 4 feet of water, you've been within 4 feet of a shark. That is a fact. That is a fact. And so it's dangerous, I guess, but the truth of the matter is unless they mistake you for another something that they usually eat, they're not coming after
you. And when you consider the numbers of people that are in the ocean, I mean, it's
astronomical,
right?
Astronomical.
And I know this is Shark Week question 101, but why don't they bite more often then?
Because they're not mistaking you for what their normal –
Which is fish.
Yes, when you're up on a surfboard and your arms are out – from underneath, that could look like a tortoise. It could look like a seal. Right?
Okay, so no arms out. Good.
No arms out.
Right. Good.
So listen.
That's good news for our friend Stumpy.
Yep. Great news for the amputee surfers.
Right.
So do they not have good vision? Is that what it is?
No, it's more shapes, right? They're looking up.
Right.
And in Southern California, near Santa Monica, it's all juvenile great whites, which is why you're not getting a lot of fatalities. The juveniles' jaws aren't the same as the matured. You know, I watched a slow motion video that I'm not sure I'll ever get out of my head this year for one of the shows. But the adult male jaw and the adult woman, both the jaws open. Right. So the juvenile only one does. So it really can't get you a full-grown person to pull you down.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It can take a chunk out. But not only do their jaws open up, but their teeth come out a little bit.
Their teeth come out of their mouth?
Just a little bit. They come out.
Other than having 700 teeth?
They come out and tap you on the shoulder like, what? What's up? Yeah.
Speaking of the size of sharks, Josh, one of the clips that I saw for this week's Shark Week is talking about some sort of, this isn't a Sci-Fi Channel thing, this is a real thing, some sort of new, bigger than usual shark, like a mega shark, something that eats other sharks? Is that real?
You know, that is more like, that's the question, is it real?
It's well, that's what we asked you.
But that's what the entire show will ask me again. Okay. Is it real? It's one of those. It's a submarine.
Is it a myth?
They're trying to figure that out.
Is it a myth?
Exactly. I'm going to do that. I'm just going to keep repeating the questions you have.
You're going to keep repeating the questions we have?
I'm going to keep repeating the questions you have.
But they think there's something that's eating large sharks.
Could be. But you know.
Could be.
Yeah. I don't see it. It could be, and here's look. What I learned this year too is that, you know, I didn't know that orcas actually can eat sharks.
So there,
yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a video that I looked up online of an orca eating a great white.
Oh my god!
But the difference between orcas and great whites is that orcas hunt in packs, and orcas are highly, highly intelligent creatures. So they've been known to, at times, attack sharks because they can. And they work in a pack, like a wolf, actually.
All right. We only have a little bit of time left. We're talking about Shark After Dark, which starts this Sunday night. It's part of the Shark Week programming on the Discovery Channel with our friend Josh Wolf in studio. Let's talk about some of your guests you have this year. Tara Reid, of course, is back from Sharknado 2, right? Boy, is she a hell of an interview.
Yeah.
We had her on a couple of weeks ago, Josh.
You
have
did?
Fun with that.
Yeah.
You have somebody else on that night, right? I'm just saying you have other guests, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm really looking forward to her coming on again. You know, last year was a really interesting interview to watch. Those words come out of a person's mouth.
Uh-huh. Well, she believes the Sharknado is real, remember.
Possible. She also, last year when she came on the show, was confused because she thought a whale shark was when a whale and a shark had sex.
That's right. I saw that.
That's magic.
Your old friend and boss, Chelsea Handler, stops by this year. Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans Jr. from New Girl will be there. Danny Trejo, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the hilarious Matt Walsh from Veep. Ashley Tisdale, who I guess she's on the show just because you guys found out she's a huge Shark Week fan, right?
Huge Shark Week fan. You know, we find out every year that more and more celebs are huge Shark Week fans. And for me, it's exciting, but we've had to turn people away.
Really?
Yeah, because people love Shark Week.
You should put somebody else in that Tara Reid spot.
I got to tell you, what I'm more excited about is not just a celeb guest. I like train wrecks, which is one of the reasons. And I like things where you're going to watch on TV and go, well, how is that happening?
Right.
So every show we have like a stand-up thing where someone will come on and show me something, right? This year we have someone who calls himself the Human Hammerhead, who swears he can break anything with his head. We will put that to the test on stage. We also have a guy.
What kind of circus act is this?
Exactly. We also have a guy who will eat anything. Now, when I tell you anything, he's going to eat what sharks eat. He's going to eat a surfboard. He's going to eat driftwood. We're actually going to have him eat a stick of deodorant, too, just because, I don't know, that looks fun.
What's happening?
But those are the things also that are going to happen at the end of the show that are, for me, extra exciting live television.
Sure. Sure. Wow. I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's a funny show, Josh. We're very excited to have it back and very excited to welcome you back to the Kevin Bean Show, too. We really enjoyed it. Shark Week kicks off this Sunday night on the Discovery Channel. Don't miss a single minute of Shark After Dark. Josh Wolf stopping by, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
1 hour from right now on the Kevin Bean Show, we're going to be having a conversation with Megan Fox.
Yeah. I'm not sure you should be involved in that.
I'm just pointing out that she's coming up as a guest now.
Right, I know.
That's all. Talking about, Heroes on the Half Shell, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in theaters today. First, though, speaking of movies, this trailer for the new Stephen Hawking bio film called The Theory of Everything is just, people are getting all the feelings when they see this. Have you watched the trailer yet, Kevin?
I've not.
It's fairly devastating because he is he's played by the British actor Eddie Redmayne. He is young and handsome and he's got the whole world ahead of him and he's a genius and he meets this gorgeous girlfriend played by actress Felicity Jones, and they fall in love, and then he gets the medical diagnosis that will change his life forever. Here's some scenes from The Theory of Everything.
Stephen, are you aware that you've voluntarily embarked upon a PhD in physics?
Hello.
Hello.
Science.
Arts.
I'm a cosmologist.
What's that?
I study the marriage of space and time.
The perfect couple.
It's called motor neuron disease. Life expectancy is 2 years.
I want us to be together for as long as we've got.
It'll affect everything.
My name is Stephen Hawking.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
So it's a comedy?
No, it's not. It's a drama, and it's a man's real life, and that man is still alive today. He far surpassed the 2 years he was given back in his 20s. The great Stephen Hawking joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Hi, Dr. Hawking. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on. This film is going to be in theaters here in this country on November the 7th. It must be very exciting for you to see your life story made into a movie.
The movie, The Theory of Everything, is crap.
What?
Did you say it's crap?
Crap.
Why?
Crap.
Right. It looks so beautiful. I mean, it looks like
crap.
A wonder.
Crap. Sorry. My finger got stuck.
It looks like a wonderful story about a man who fights against terrible adversity to become a successful person and have a happy life.
First of all, so many liberties were taken with my life story.
Oh, really? So it's not at all true?
Some of it is.
Okay.
But they left out so many important parts.
Okay. Well, I mean, it certainly does focus on your struggle with ALS and your genius, you know, theories that you've written the books about and won all the awards for. But what do they leave out of the movie that you wish they'd covered?
Yes, they focus on the Lou Gehrig's disease, which, by the way, Lou Gehrig himself had. What are the odds?
I believe they named it that because he famously had it, Dr. Hawking.
What?
Right.
What? Yes. That's right. All right. Okay, Stephen.
You can do that forever, couldn't you? Because it's just your finger.
Because I have a computer voice.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So what are you saying that they left out of the movie that you think is...
of my most famous inventions.
Oh, okay. Like what?
Like the fleshlight.
You invented the sex toy known as the fleshlight?
Hell to the yeah.
Wow. I had no idea.
What? Daddy likey.
Don't say that. Do not say daddy likey.
Also, they made me look like I had one girlfriend in college.
Well, I mean, that seems what the movie's focused on, yeah.
I was knocking boots with all the bitches.
Oh, okay. Playing around before you settled down and got married to that one lady, then.
Hell yes.
All right.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here.
Sure.
Shut up, Beer Mug.
Wait, there's somebody there with named Beer Mug?
Yes. Dr. Beer Mug works in my laboratory. He ruins every experiment we try.
I'm not surprised.
I really need to fire Beer Mug.
That's a great idea, Doctor.
You should see that. The Arctic Monkeys on the world famous KROQ 106.7 KROQ at 7:54.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Maybe we should have Dave do the interview.
Yeah.
Dave's got a lot of experience with Megan Fox,
great,
right?
Questions.
Sure. That's next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we're going to talk about celebrity impersonators in the next half hour. We really want to hear from you if you, in fact, have worked as one, too, because that's a bizarre job.
That's got to suck, let's be honest.
I would imagine so. I would think so, too. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of the lovely Ms. Fox, good news for her latest film, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, got off to a strong start at the box office, racking up an estimated $4.6 million in late-night screenings last night.
Yay!
Wow.
That puts it on the mark to make about $50 million this weekend.
Wow.
If you extrapolate the math out. Similar results were proven earlier this year by Maleficent, for example, did about $4 million on Thursday midnight shows and then ended up with about $69 million in opening weekend. So it could be anywhere from 50 to 70, but they're expecting pretty good numbers for Mutant Ninja Teenage Turtles or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Turtle Ninja Mutant Teenagers,
whatever they are.
Whatever they are.
And it's the kind of movie that has a wide demographic appeal, too, because
yes,
it's great for the kids, but then there's also the nostalgia factor for people who grew up with the Turtles back in the 90s.
That's right. So congratulations. Orlando Bloom seems to be okay in the wake of his scuffle with Justin Bieber and also his breakup with his Victoria's Secret model wife, Miranda Kerr, ex-wife. He's now apparently got a new girlfriend. She is a Swedish model named Liki Glömin.
I bet she's ugly.
She is a pig. Oh, wait a minute. She's stunning, but more importantly, she's... Any guesses how old?
How old is he? Orlando, 35?
35, I think.
I'd say 25.
She's 20.
20?
20.
All right.
Yeah. So, that is that.
That's that.
It's not bad enough the Kardashians are on reality television. Do they have to start bleeding into regular television as well?
What are you talking about?
Hollywood Reporter says that Khloe Kardashian and Scott Disick will appear as themselves on the upcoming season 6 finale of the USA Network series Royal Pains. At least it's aptly named.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need them starting showing up on regular television.
Nope, we do not.
And we're talking about television, new casting news. A former Twin Peaks star... He was also in Desperate Housewives and Sex and the City. Kyle MacLachlan will be joining the cast of ABC's Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nice.
No kidding. Yeah, I'm very excited for that. He's a great actor, and I always like seeing him on my television. He apparently will play the father of Sky on that series, of course, played by Chloe Bennett. And
yeah, thank you.
We don't know what's going on with her background because her parents tried to kill her. And she's weaponized, and she's got something going on with her, and I don't know what's going to happen this season, but I'm looking forward to it. And it looks like there's a lot of Beans people out there. And I don't just mean creepy people. I mean Weird Al Yankovic fans. The petition to get Weird Al to play the halftime show at the Super Bowl?
Yes, yes.
As of this morning, has 91,600 supporters who have signed it.
Wow.
Before it goes to the NFL.
This is, pointless because the NFL doesn't care about our online petition, but, B, this has really been picking up steam this week.
This week's, it's monstrous for some reason. It's just really got a lot of momentum.
This album just came out, maybe.
It's a couple weeks old.
Yeah.
It didn't happen the week it came out. It's happening now for some reason.
Bean tried to start like 10 of these petitions.
I know.
And went nowhere. No one cared when I wanted to do it.
But now it's all the rage.
But look, in all seriousness, and I
yes,
know you guys
would
are,
be great.
Yes,
I know you guys
best,
are tired of hearing about
human
it.
Being.
He'd be
the
great
fighter.
As a halftime show, right?
But seriously, though,
yes,
wouldn't you enjoy him as the halftime?
Yes,
take yes
for an
Super
answer.
How many times do you have to ask us? We would enjoy that. It would be good. We would be fans.
But they should do it, right?
Right.
We would like it.
Okay. Why won't they?
We're not them.
But why do you think their reason is for not doing it? Do they think it doesn't have enough urban appeal, maybe? Could that be it? Is Al too
maybe
white?
Maybe they think it doesn't have across-the-board appeal.
But
a Springsteen or a McCartney or
but
something.
But I would
like
say that.
That
you don't find very many young Springsteen or McCartney fans. You find lots of young Weird Al fans. I would think if you're talking about demographics, Al has about as wide a range as anybody out there in music today.
Bean continues this argument, and we just have no information.
I want it to happen. We are talking to the young man who put the petition up on Monday's show, Ralph.
He is. Yes. Okay. Good.
Great.
Everyone's happy.
Happy about
good
that.
Good times.
Can't wait. I wish Monday was here now.
Me too. So we could talk more Al. And this is a phenomenon. I'm glad it's being addressed because I don't understand it. The people who will forego experiencing an event simply to then to document it with their phone. Like, they will stop enjoying what they're doing and put all their energy into getting their phone out and taking pictures or videos of that same event.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
They're so preoccupied with what's on the little screen...
Right.
...that they lose sight of everything that's happening around them in the real-time actual event...
Right.
...that they're trying to document. All that matters to them is capturing it on a little tiny phone versus living the moment that they paid good money and worked really hard to get themselves into a place to be.
Right.
Now, is it possible they're mortgaging their enjoyment now for what they perceive as their enjoyment later when they have a copy of it on their phone that they can
enjoy
again?
When they look at that phone again. And they were dancing all over the place and just shaking.
Some shaky BS bad sound copy of whatever it was that they were actually at?
Why
couldn't they just enjoy that moment? Why can't they be there and let the memories be their photographs?
Well, some of us don't have memories.
Well, that's true. Kevin needs to document everything so he knows where he was over the course of the week.
What brought the story up?
You know, Peter Frampton, legendary 70s guitarist Peter Frampton. He's been around a long time. He's sort of a legend.
Right.
He has a very strict policy at his shows. No flash photography, which a lot of celebrities or performers do because it's very disturbing when that flash goes off. But also no video of any kind. You can't take any video of his stuff. He just wants you to sit back, relax, enjoy the show.
Right.
Front row. There's a couple. The minute the show starts, phones up above their heads, shooting him.
Okay.
Peter from the stage gestures for them to stop, is waving them off. Phones held high, taking it all in, won't stop.
Okay.
The people behind them in the second row start to complain. They can't see the show because the hands and the phones are in their way when they're trying to watch a show, which is another pet peeve of mine.
Right.
Peter finishes his first song with a big smile on his face, asks the couple if he could see the phone so we could see what they got. I would like to see the footage that you got.
Good.
Took the phone, threw it against the back wall of the stage, shattering it into 1,000 pieces.
No.
Yeah. Apparently.
I love that so much.
Apparently the crowd went nuts in attendance. Sadly, no one shot any video of him doing that. That's a video I would have actually liked to have seen.
That's awesome.
No word yet on when the lawsuit will come for the couple suing for the value of their phone.
Don't get me started on people like the King of Mexico occasionally who will bring an iPad.
That's even better.
And videotape and or take pictures.
Bring in the IMAX screen. The IMAX screen of photography in front of you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's not the least bit annoying to the people behind you.
Nope.
Dave. It's your fault, Dave.
It is.
Today's celebrity birthdays, these stars were born on August the 8th. Actor Dustin Hoffman, 77 years old today. Dave the Edge Evans of U2 is 53. Singer Scott Stapp turns 41. Megan Good, the actress, is 33 years old. J.C. Chazet from Boys to New Kids on the Street. I forget which one that he was in.
I think he might be in NSYNC.
NSYNC? Okay.
He's 38 years old. Roger Federer, tennis player, turns 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, looking ahead to our next week, if you're a wrestling fan, and who isn't, you don't want to miss next week's Kevin and Bean shows. Mick Foley is going to be stopping by, and Hulk Hogan will be here. How about that?
All right.
Also have Luke Greenfield on. He is the director of Let's Be Cops, which looks hilarious, by the way. Comedian Bed Glebe is going to be joining us. Brad Williams, Adam Carolla, Harvey Levin, a whole bunch more. That's next week right here on K-Rock.
Paul Scheer came out. He was on a late-night talk show. Came out with a story on a late-night talk show, and he was saying that at his wedding, he had a Jack Nicholson impersonator as his best man.
That's very odd.
That's hilarious, by the way. Paul Scheer is hilarious.
Paul Scheer is great. And you could tell that, to me, that's a great idea.
It is. It's a fantastic idea.
But Paul Scheer had written him lines, and apparently he didn't like the lines or just decided he wanted to go off on his own, and that's where everything fell right to hell.
See? Not a good idea. At the end of the day, not a good idea.
Because of this guy.
Right. Because at the end of the day, not a good idea.
You're hilarious on paper, right. But in reality, it falls apart.
Apparently he kept trying to hug everybody, and like his mom was trying to give a toast, and he would go hug.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, just being creepy, right?
Yeah.
And it seems like in this city of all, there would be a lot of these celebrity impersonators.
I'm sure.
And that's got to be a hellish job.
I wouldn't want
to. It's got to be a bizarre way to make a living if your job is to go to a convenience store opening to be Michael Jackson or whatever. You know, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. I get it if you're in Las Vegas and you're part of a stage show and you go out there every night and you're Kenny Rogers or you're whoever you are, Kurt Cobain, whoever you are that's pretending to be somebody because you're putting on a show, a musical act. But if you're just going to parties, you know, going to bachelor parties or weddings or, you know, retirement parties or office parties and things like that, and pretending to be a celebrity, I can't imagine that's a fun job.
I'm thinking about kid parties.
Kid parties, too.
Can you imagine a party of kids that are running around screaming and yelling and tugging at you and punching you?
But wouldn't most of the kid ones be, you know, like you'd be a Disney character, you'd be Barney or something like
that? Yeah, I don't think that would be okay. I think it would be kicking Barney in the nuts.
Barneys do get abused. We've heard of that
before. I'd punch back if I were Barney.
Well, we started thinking about celebrity impersonators, and I think Kevin's right. I bet we have people listening who are celebrity impersonators, and we'd love to hear from you, especially at 1-800-520-1067. But we'd also like to hear from you if you've been to an event where there's been a celebrity performer as an entertainer. Remember the K-Rock Christmas party from back in the 90s?
Yeah, that was good times. We had a Joan Rivers impersonator at the Christmas party. And she was given some information that was of a personal nature about everybody that was there.
So she could tease them.
Right.
Right.
And
interact.
She teased.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people, again, at a Christmas party, there were people running from the conference room crying. That happened.
Yeah. A little too close to home.
Not just a little too close to home, right on the nose.
Yeah.
like certain people had real issues.
Yes.
And this Joan Rivers impersonator was just outing, basically just making fun of them.
Right.
And they would get up from their table and run away crying.
Yeah. Here you are. You think you're at a Christmas party. Hey, it's holiday entertainment. It's going to be fun. And the next thing you know, you have a stranger up there highlighting your disabilities and abuse.
And who came up with hiring a Joan Rivers impersonator either?
I don't know.
How's that a good idea ever for anything?
But I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask the audience at 1-800-520-1067, is there ever a party where a celebrity impersonator improves it? I don't know that there is. I just think that is a category of entertainment that is a fail every single time, unless somebody's got some examples of where it's been awesome.
Because they look like the person, they don't have anywhere near their personality, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's a person that looks like them. You look at them, and for 3 seconds, it's cool. And then from then on, it blows.
Right.
Hey, that guy looks like Tupac. Oh,
done.
Wait, what now? You've got a guy who looks like Tupac in your kitchen.
You
that's
what,
that's
not,
what happens.
You know who he's not, Tupac?
Exactly right. This week's Nathan For You. We love that show with Nathan Fielder on Comedy Central. He's having a party, and the party is not going well. But fortunately, he's got a secret weapon because he's got a Bill Gates impersonator who comes out and does a chunk. You guys tell me how this is going over.
With Veronique on the verge of leaving, I was hopeful the entertainment I hired would turn things around. A professional Bill Gates impersonator who I'd worked with in the past.
It's really great to be here. There's nothing like a party. You know, you work hard all your life, especially trying to get Microsoft working. I mean,
by the way, this guy has all the dynamic abilities of Bill Gates.
What
too,
the hell?
He's doing his Microsoft chunk, Kevin. Come on, he's being Bill Gates.
Microsoft. What would we have done without it? In the office days, older office days in the 80s, you had big computers in a room. I mean, enormous. And look at the technology now.
I don't know.
How is this entertaining for anyone?
I don't know that act is going anywhere. So that's your Bill Gates impersonator, who actually looked more like Jerry Jones, if you want my opinion. All right, let's squeeze in one call before the break, and let's make it our man Garrett. He's in Burbank. He's on line one at 1-800-520-1067.
Hi, Garrett.
How you guys doing?
We are good. How are you, and who are you?
Well, I used to work at Disneyland as Goofy.
Okay.
And I remember, like, one story that sticks in my mind is I'm working in the hotel lobby one day, and these girls who are, like, in their early 20s come up and start getting pictures with me. Then they start getting kind of freaky, like, Goofy, put your hands lower on our backs, and, okay, let's flick his face for this next picture.
Right.
And then as they're walking away, they gave me their room number.
Wait, I don't see a bad part of the story yet.
I'm just, it's a little... I understand everybody has their thing, but I don't run into many people who make Goofy that thing.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, in their mind, did they have some sort of a rich fantasy in their head that they were going to be doing it with Goofy? I mean, if you got in there and started to take off the suit, would that be a deal breaker for them?
Probably. I mean, part of me wonders, like, if I had, you know, gone up to that room, I wouldn't have wanted to do it out of costume just because, like, you know, go up as Goofy, but, like, you know, diesel model Goofy with the shirt kind of open and maybe a little bit of scruff painted on or something.
No,
like, hey,
you got to go full Goofy. Don't you have to try that at full Goofy?
I don't even know how that would work, Kevin. I'm
I
just
don't
thinking about the limitations of the suit. It seems like you'd be have some built-in barriers there, I think.
Probably. But yeah, just walk into that room. Gosh.
Thanks, Garrett. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. If you have been a celebrity impersonator or have been to an event with it, how was it? We want to talk to you next on K-Rock. Talking about celebrity impersonators seems like a tough way to make a living. Seems like it's not good news if you're ever at a party or a wedding or a retirement event or something like that, if a celebrity impersonator is the entertainment.
If you're the impersonator, it sucks. And if you're not the impersonator, it sucks.
Yes.
It also sucks.
Right. So we're taking your calls, telling us what you've seen at 1-800-520-1067. You know, let's go to Art. He's on line four. He's in Laverne. When you think celebrity impersonator, I guess the first name you ought to think is Elvis Presley, right? There got to be more fake Elvises out there than anyone else, right?
Oh, I don't know. Outside of Vegas, I don't know that it would feel that way. But
well, let's find out where Art was. Hey, Art, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show, my friend.
Hey, party people. How's it going?
Good, good. Where were you?
Well, it was actually a Sweet 16.
Okay.
And a big part of the group that was there was part of the young gal's church. And so, for whatever reason, they decided to hire this Elvis impersonator.
That's perfect for 16-year-olds.
Absolutely, right? Like
16-year-old church groups.
So out of about the 80 people that were there, he picks probably the worst person to serenade and kind of do like a little lap dance type of thing. It ended up being the pastor's wife.
When he started
the whole thing, you can already see that the church people getting a little uncomfortable, you know, kind of like turning their heads and everything. So he actually comes up to her because she was facing the opposite way and grabs her chair and spins her in her chair all the way around while he's doing his little bit. And so, you know, they freak out. I think, like I said, a big group of them just walk out. And another bad part is one of the guys that was helping Elvis with the sound was part of their church, so he walks out.
Oh, my
gosh. So the poor guy is just stranded. The tape, it's a tape, of course, you know, sophisticated,
sure.
You know, tape system. And, he just, you know, he's like trying to, like, stay in character, walk over to the machine and try to set up his next track. It was a disaster.
Yeah. It's funny because the story that we told with the Joan Rivers impersonator at the K-Rock Christmas party, it was the same thing. It was like a mass exodus. People couldn't get out of that room fast enough. What was your Elvis guy, the young, attractive Elvis or the fat, sweaty Elvis?
I think he was more on the latter side,
fat, sweaty.
Yeah. That's perfect for a 16-year-old birthday party right there.
Yeah.
Good planning. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's do another. How about let's do Gil. He's in Tustin. He's online, too. He's got a friend who is a celebrity impersonator. Let's find out what that life is like. Hey, Gil.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Your friend is who? Looks like who?
A friend of mine does Johnny Depp impersonations.
Now, what kind of gigs does he get as Johnny Depp?
Oh, it depends on the request, but he does pretty much everything, parties, get-togethers, hangouts.
Is it mostly kids or is it mostly, girls? What is it?
He actually does a lot of adult venues, but the kid ones are more when he's actually doing characters that Johnny Depp plays.
So when he goes to a grown-up party, does he have an act? Like, what does he do as Johnny Depp except for just look like Johnny Depp and be in photos?
For the most part, it's a lot of it is photos, but when he's actually there speaking as the character, people just believe that they're hanging out with him.
Isn't that weird?
Wow.
What's the money like to be Johnny Depp? Do you know?
It's good enough that he's able to travel the country.
No kidding. He does this all over the country?
Yeah, well, actually, he's been out to the Philippines. He's been, I believe he's been to Japan and China as well.
Wow.
Are you sure it's not actually Johnny Depp?
Are you friends with Johnny Depp and didn't know it?
Yeah, if you saw his pictures, it's incredible the similarities between the two of them. I mean, it's ridiculous. And he just has to put on a little bit of clothes that looks just like him, and next thing you know, you're like standing next to Johnny Depp.
How about that?
All right, let me ask you this, and maybe this is an unnecessary question, but these parties that he goes to, they know they're hiring Johnny Depp impersonator, right? Nobody thinks he's really Johnny Depp, right?
Yeah, they know they're hiring an impersonator. The funny thing is that they just get that feeling that they're with him because of how good he is.
Isn't that something? Wow. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Gil.
I mean, I could, I got a lot of offers early in my career to be Brad Pitt. I mean, I could have done that same thing with the Brad Pitt impersonating business. I just wanted to kind of do my own thing instead, you know?
Sure.
So I struck out on my own path.
Sure. Let's go to Brian in Long Beach. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
In the Johnny Depp tip, what happened?
Had the Jack Sparrow lookalike come to my kid's birthday party, 5-year-old birthday party, and first of all, the guy's an hour late. He looks the part when he finally shows up, but he was drunk. He was the real deal.
He's Jack Sparrow. Of course, he's drunk.
Yeah. He's drunk.
May not have been your last caller's friend. I don't know.
That's a bad choice on your part.
Well, yeah, little did we know. But the guy's act consisted of putting, you know, parrots on his shoulders and holding one at a time on its back on his hand and kept dropping the birds onto the ground from his hand and horrifying.
That's sad.
Horrifying the children.
At some point were your kids crying?
Some may have been. Later he starts falling over my now ex-wife, and I just had to kick him out of the party.
But this is why I love Brian, because he goes to the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and he goes, hey, that guy up there who's always drunk and banging whores, let's hire him as entertainment for our kids' party. Nice job.
I think you did the right thing.
Now? Do we have her now? We talking to her now?
Shut up now.
Nope. Where's the house, Megan Fox?
I don't know, but take it easy. Take it easy. She'll call.
Hey, Megan Fox joins us in a moment here from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. I'm glad David King of Mexico is here. Hi, King.
What's up?
How many times have you interviewed Megan Fox?
Let's see. We've had two exclusive one-on-one interviews.
Okay.
Yeah. Exclusive one-on-one.
Exclusive.
Okay.
Exclusive!
Have we, Kevin and Bean, ever spoken with Megan Fox before?
I don't think so. I think I keep her all to myself.
Okay. Well, yeah. I got a couple of clips from previous interviews you've done with Megan Fox, and I'm glad you're here because maybe you can help us with some tips, some suggestions on how to make sure this is a successful interview.
Okay, cool.
Here's one time you ran into your girlfriend.
Hi. Megan. It's Dave, the King of Mexico, for the Kevin and Bean Show. Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Why uh-oh?
I used to listen to you guys before you started talking about me so much, and then I couldn't take it. I can't listen anymore. I'm embarrassed.
Talking good or talking bad?
Well, I tuned out when you were still talking good. I hope that still happens over there in the Kevin and Bean Show.
We've never said a bad thing about Megan.
No.
Not once. See, so you guys automatically ruined my exclusive one-on-one interview with her.
She said it was because we were talking good about her.
Yes.
So,
maybe just talking too much about her or something? Is that what was going on?
We were doing
let's talk about Megan Fox.
We didn't have that feature.
Yeah.
All right. How about this question? Let's see how this question went over for Dave and see if it's something we want to incorporate in today's interview.
Now, are you a baseball fan at all?
No, I'm not.
All right, so how do you think the Dodgers are going to do in the World Series?
That's a great follow-up to no, I'm not.
Well, you know, at the time, you know, I might have been...
Drunk?
No. A little interested in Miss Megan Fox, but so I was trying to get her to like what I like. So I was hoping she would...
Right, but you asked her, do you like what I like? And she said, no.
I know, and I was trying to force her, like, well, let's leave, you know... Like the Dodgers, and then we're good, you know.
So Dave was really – he was scoping for a girlfriend there more than he was interested in an interview. He was trying to find out how compatible these two were together is what it sounds like to me.
It's more like an interview, you know.
But again, I'm going to say she wasn't into that, so move on to something else. Don't try and ram it down her throat, so to speak.
That was one question.
And in Dave's defense, Kevin, you and I have been here. Anyone who's ever done an interview has been here. You have a question in your mind, and you're going to ask it. And that's where Dave was. Dave was going to talk to Megan Fox
about
the Dodgers.
Yeah, you're right. I had a list of five questions, and that's what I asked.
All right. Here's the question that has become legendary over the years here at the Kevin DeBede Show. And I guess I sort of see the logic of where you're coming from, because you're talking about people from the same state.
Being from Tennessee... Are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
That's
a well-worded question.
Uh-huh. I don't know what her answer was to that, but...
It doesn't matter.
Your thinking was that maybe she liked them a lot because they were from the same part of the country she was, so she would have been an early fan, maybe?
Yes, and, you know, my thinking was if she liked Paramore, hey, maybe we'll go to a Paramore show. I could
There's no way that you thought any of those approaches would work. How do you think the Dodgers will do? Do you like Paramore? What about fingerless gloves?
Yeah, I mean, she liked fingerless gloves.
Yeah, sure.
But isn't it something, though, this is such a guy thing, and Lisa has pointed this out to us so many times before, somewhere in the back of Dave's mind, and probably in the back of our mind today, is we think there's a possibility that this is going to be the spark that's going to create love and romance.
Hey, I'm just fishing, man. I was fishing.
Okay.
Getting nibbles?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You did not, sir. No, you
all right,
did
what
not.
Kind of fishing can you do to get Megan Fox on the phone for us?
Well, I got
to
leave this office or the studio first.
All right, go ahead. what do you think we want you to stay here instead of get her on the phone?
We weren't not having her on the phone because we had Dave in here, right? There was somebody else working on that in the other room.
Christine was in there.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm sure.
My fear is that somebody they told her about us and then she said no.
Oh, I don't think so.
Because that's the right decision.
I thought she was very nice in the interview with Dave.
She was.
Seemed to have listened to Kevin and Mitchell, liked the Kevin and Mitchell. I don't think we were the problem.
Hey, I got her.
Oh, by the way, we're always the problem.
I think Dave was the problem, frankly. All right. Hey, let's all talk about Megan Fox. Let's all talk about Megan Fox. Let's all talk about Megan Fox. Foxy lady. There you go. Well, this has been too long in coming. Megan Fox herself joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. She is the star of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, which is in theaters everywhere, all over the goddamn place today. Hey, Megan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
We're doing. Why? What's with that tone of voice? What did we do?
What?
Do you already regret this interview?
No, I was just saying, I thought you had to be sort of, I didn't know you could say those words. I didn't know you could use that language on morning,
oh, I, no, sure.
Radio.
I apologize. Yeah, I apologize.
No, it's fine with me. I just didn't know.
All right.
Yeah.
Now
well,
I'm
we don't.
More relaxed.
We tend to forget there are children listening, and maybe we should keep that in mind from time to time, I guess. So it's great to have you finally on the show. I feel like you're one of those actresses who surfaces for an event like this, and then you go back deep underground, and we never see you again. I mean, it's very right. rare that you're even out there doing any kind of press at all, right?
Yeah, I mean, I only go to events if I have to because I'm working. I'm not a real I don't know. I just don't enjoy like the Hollywood scene. There's nothing validating about it for me. Mm-hmm. So I like to be home, be with my family, be with my kids. And I only, like you said, I only surface when I'm working, and then I hide again.
Do you go out and do these movies because you still enjoy acting, or would you be just as happy just giving up showbiz altogether and just staying home and being a wife and mother?
No, I mean, I do. I have a really independent spirit, so there is something in me that needs to be doing something that has some sort of a career. I do like doing these movies, though. I feel at home doing them. I'm really comfortable doing action movies. These are my favorite kind of movies to watch, so they're my favorite kind to be in. And I was a super fan of the Turtles as a kid, so this was something I really wanted to do. But, you know, if I could do anything and, you know, this is not possible because I don't have the education, but I would love to be an archaeologist, like if there was a way for me to get in and do that.
I'm sorry. I thought you just said that you would be an archaeologist.
That's what I said.
Okay. So is that something you do, like, on vacation? Do you go – because there are some places you can go around the world where you can kind of, like, go through ruins and see them with your own eyes. Is that something you do?
Yeah, I mean, we filmed the second Transformers in Egypt and in Luxor at Temple Karnak. And so I've been around and I've seen some of the ruins. But that's not the same as, you know, actually going on digs and discovering things. But I keep up with it. I mean, I read about archaeology all of the time. It's a passion of mine. And if I had to pick something, a secondary career, it would be paleontology.
Same. So, same for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have a lot in common. It sounds
yeah,
like Kevin.
Oh yeah, I love it.
Kevin doesn't know what paleontology
I
is.
I read a
Megan.
Lot about. Shut up, Bean.
I'm just saying.
I'm
well, we learned something about Megan Fox here today. I would imagine, Megan, that it is somewhat exhausting to be the Hollywood version of Megan Fox that people have in their mind. When they see you, they must freak out because you're this, you know, unicorn in the wild. When in reality, I know you just consider yourself just a regular, you know, just a regular person going about living your life. But is it weird when you run into fans and they freak out over you all the time?
I mean, I think the most bizarre thing is just, or the most, I guess it would be disappointing for me is that people are always surprised by how nice I am, and that's because I unfortunately have this bad girl image in the media, even though I've been, you know, in a relationship for 10 years and I have two babies and I'm always minding my own business, because some of my sound bites have been so, you know, sort of scandalous or salacious. People don't grasp that I'm actually, you know, a nice human being. So fans are always like, I hear them walking away after they ask for pictures or they meet me and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe she was so nice. And that makes me sad because I don't want fans to think that they have to be afraid of me.
Yeah,
when they approach me.
They probably mean that as a compliment and you take it as, what did you think I was?
Well, I mean, I know they mean it as a compliment, but that's what I'm saying is it's sad that they would ever think otherwise.
Right.
I don't want people to have to feel that way.
I totally get that. Now, you said the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is something that you were already into, so you were excited to do this movie. So does that mean you were about the right age to kind of grow up with the show back in the 90s when it was a thing?
I mean, I think I was 4 when the first movie came out, so I was really young, but I had an older sister. She's 12 years older, so she was a teenager, and she was that prime, like, target demographic, and I wanted to be like her, and so I watched everything she watched, and that was initially how I was exposed to them, but then my fandom sort of far surpassed hers. My favorite movie was Secret of Views with Vanilla Ice, and I've watched that many times as an adult and make Brian watch it.
Wow.
He's that and Point Break. Those are my favorite movies.
We had Will Arnett on the show a couple of days ago. He's one of our all-time favorites. And that must have been so much fun every day to work on the set with that dude.
Well, yeah, because I was a huge fan, obviously, of Arrested Development. He and David Cross on that show, their characters are like all-time Hall of Fame, you know, comedic characters. So working with him was crazy. I worked with him on this really unfortunate movie called Jonah Hex a few years ago. It did do very well. We didn't have any scenes together. We were both in that. So we share that sort of tragedy in our past.
That was the Western, right? That was kind of a Western movie, I remember?
That was the Western with Josh Brolin, and I played a prostitute with a heart of gold.
That's right.
In that movie. And so, yeah, working with Will is, I mean, he's Will. He's funny. He's full of one-liners. He's also, though, a really good dad, and he always is bringing his kids to set, and so that was really fun for me. I had a good time with him.
And this movie was all costumes, no CGI, right?
It was all, I mean, you know, it was heavy CGI. There was no green screen, but we had guys in these things, motion capture suits.
Oh, I see.
And that's what, like, if you watch, you know, Andy Serkis when he's doing Lord of the Rings or he's doing Planet of the Apes, that's how they sort of capture the performances now. So there's real actors that are being constantly tracked by computers that they sort of wear on their faces, basically. And so for me, it was really easy to interact with them because I had actors. But for the actors, it was more difficult for them because they had to work through all of this weird equipment that they're wearing all of the time.
Talking to Megan Fox here on the Kevin Bean Show. The film is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, opening up everywhere today. I'm sure you get updates from the studio all the time, Megan. You saw the gangbuster business you guys did last night. I mean, you are on track for a huge, huge weekend. You must be so happy.
I'm happy because I actually really love this movie. And, you know, I knew critics were going to go in and give it a really hard time because of all of the people involved and all of the elements. And I knew that they weren't going to give us a fair shot. And I'm happy to see that fans are still going to... And word of mouth is going to spread, and everyone's going to be like, you know what? This is a really badass TNNT movie, and you guys have to go see it because it's super fun.
Well, they're telling us you got to be pulled off the call right now. It's been a long time that we've been wanting to have you on, and we've really enjoyed talking to you. I hope it hadn't been too bad for you, Megan.
Next time, you guys have to play a game with me. I'm really into the games you guys do.
All right.
Okay. It's a deal.
Done. We'll set it up. Okay. Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:57.
Turtle power! What are you wearing, Ralph? What do you have on your face?
Turtle power!
What are you doing?
I'm Raphael.
He's got the red goggles or whatever they are.
It's a mask.
Who cares what it is?
It's a mask. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle mask. The red one is Raphael.
Sure.
Okay. Ralph, Raphael, get it? Get it, man?
Right.
What's on your hand? My turtle hand.
Okay.
Turtle power returns.
You are a major dork.
Turtle power.
I miss Megan Fox.
Well, you shouldn't have had Kevin hang up on her then.
She certainly did, didn't he?
I didn't. It wasn't. She was saying goodbye.
Or was she?
Come on. She wasn't going to buy us a boat or whatever it is you guys
You don't know what she was going to offer, man.
Well, we could ask her next week when she starts doing traffic on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I don't know how to get this off.
How about that? Stuck wearing a mask.
Yeah. You're going to have to do your showbiz like that, man.
All right. Time to take a look at the showbiz beat. And then we're going to talk to the guy that you talked to us about yesterday, Ralph, who has a Kickstarter campaign going up to try to get Kenny Loggins to come play in his condo.
I know.
Talk to that man himself right after the top of the hour.
Awesome is that. Speaking of music news, NBC broadcast a special based on Miley Cyrus's Bangers Tour.
Yeah.
Which at the time I thought was odd, given the nature of her tour and what she tends to do during it.
Right.
So, well, someone's not going to want to see her pull her thong up her butt or something. They're going to not like that.
Not on network TV for the most part.
Right. That's what I thought. Well, sure enough, the FCC has received complaints regarding NBC's broadcast of Miley Cyrus' Bangers Tour special, which aired in primetime on July the 4th. Here are some of the complaints they got. Her performance was inappropriate for broadcast TV. As she grinded along, there was a costume performer depicting President Lincoln following behind her and alongside of her, and the character acted quite lecherous, even patting her on the backside. Very patriotic for the 4th.
Are they afraid people are going to think it was actually Lincoln?
Yes. Lincoln's back, and he's horn dog.
In the in the dancer costumes for Party in the USA, they had a Lincoln come out, and they had someone else come out with a Mount Rushmore on her head. It was all like USA kind of imagery that she was doing.
Well, she was
nothing
offended.
Nothing sexy or dirty about it.
I am offended, appalled, and ready to start taking public action to remove this garbage from our televisions, reads another complaint the FCC got.
Does he only have NBC? That's the only channel he can watch, or... is he able to switch to another channel?
Here's
watch something
another
else?
Complaint. Very graphic and disturbing for a Sunday evening at 9 p.m. summertime broadcast. Yes, you don't want that in summertime.
Who writes like that?
You do not want that filth in summertime. That is more of an autumn filth. So far, the FCC says they were the only three complaints they got. But each complaint, you know, means 10 million people.
I've heard that. Been told the FCC considers.
Word on whether the FCC will take any action against NBC or not. So
I'm no fan of Miley Cyrus, but I hope they don't. This is ridiculous.
But, Kevin, what kind of summertime filth is that for a 9 p.m. Sunday summertime evening?
Probably fine.
Summertime.
I think it's all right.
It's summertime.
And with Bean, there are other channels.
You can't have filth in summertime, my friends.
All right.
Hey, tomorrow night. At the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood, Kevin Smith and I are doing a double feature. We're doing our live reading of our brand new comic book, Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, number 3, at 8 p.m. And then at 10 p.m., it's Hollywood Babylon, as we do each weekend there at the Improv.
That isn't good for you.
Come on and join us. Go to improv.com to get your tickets to one or the other show, or both.
Well, you know the old expression, nope.
Come on now. There's a lot of negativity.
Nope.
In this room. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Megan Good is 33 years old today.
She's the second best actress named Megan in the world.
Well, actually, she spells her name M-E-A-G-A-N.
Okay.
So she's the best actress.
And Megan Fox is M-E-G.
Spells her name that
way. Okay. All right. All right. I accept that.
We've got an embarrassment of Megans today.
Room at the top for both.
J.C. Chazet is 38 years old today. He of NSYNC fame. Scott Stapp from Creed is 41. Sure, let Creed be all over television. Nobody complains about that. Where's the FCC then when you need them?
Ralph, was this before your time, or were you with the show where we did Breakfast with Creed for one listener?
No, I was not. I was not on the show for that.
Yeah, that was it. Well, you know the Breakfast with series.
I do.
We just did the Arctic Monkeys or the Arcade Fire, whichever one it was we just did.
Right.
We did Creed, and we had one listener come down for it. Now it's possible there was only one listener who wanted to come down for it. I don't remember the details of it, but that was one of the ones we had.
Breakfast for one?
Yes, it was. Just a Creed performance for one guy.
We don't always have good ideas.
Was this before or after the old folks' home where Weird Al did his breakfast?
I think this was after.
Yeah, okay.
Boy, was he screaming in their faces. I really thought those 95-year-olds were just going to pass with Al yelling at them.
The Edge from U2 is 53 years old, and actor Dustin Hoffman, one of our greats, is 77.
She just said goodbye, and then we hung up. That's
no.
all.
No.
Don't make something where there's not something.
It wasn't just me. I thought you hung up on Megan Fox.
I wouldn't hang up on Megan Fox.
When we had her on the show a few minutes ago, I thought you hung up on her, but then the listeners have been emailing and Facebooking and tweeting, and they're saying that you hung up on her also. Can you pull the tape up? Can you get the tape at the end of the Megan Fox conversation, and let's just see once and for all here. Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Right. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, my God. Wow. That was even worse than I remember.
But
wow. Kevin,
she was saying thank you, right?
She was right in the middle of it.
But I didn't try. I just thought it was.
Let me hear it again.
No.
Yeah.
Let me hear it again. Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Right.
Thank you, bye.
Yeah, she's in the middle of thank you.
Holy crap.
What's one more second to let her say goodbye and don't feel like we're trying to rush her off the phone? 1 second. That's all you had to wait.
Not even that. Probably like a half a second. I'm in a rush. I have things to do.
Apparently, you're very busy. You don't have time for Paul McCartney to say goodbye. You're in a hurry to get Megan Fox off the phone. God forbid the next guy we're talking to. What chance does Eric Sanchez have?
Eric?
Yep.
Yeah, Eric.
Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, Mr. Sanchez. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Y'all aren't going to hang up on me, too, now, huh?
No. I hope not. Hey, you live out there in the D.C. area, right?
I sure
do. Oh. Kevin, did you just do that on purpose?
I did, actually.
Why did you hang up on him?
Because he said you're not going to hang up on me. Right?
Why would you do that? We're
because
conducting an
me up.
Interview.
It makes me laugh. If he says you're not going to hang up on
me, I can't believe you did
then
that.
You hang up on him, and then hilarity ensues.
Oh, my God.
As a courtesy to us, though, he's doing an interview. He's coming on the show as a favor to us, and you hang up on him and now put him through the rigmarole.
I'm sorry. I mean, how often? I mean, oh, man, nobody thinks that's funny?
Come on.
All right, he's back. We're fine. We're good.
Eric, I apologize for Kevin. There was no excuse for that. I was just going to ask
you. He's laughing, Bean.
All right, that's fine. What part of the D.C. metro do you live in? Because that's my neighbor. That's where I'm from. Where are you?
I'm in the Eastern Market area, right over by Barracks Row.
Wait, gotcha. You're mad at me for hanging up, and now you want to find out what part of D.C. he lives in because you used to live there 30 years ago?
Yes, I was curious. That's all.
Unbelievable.
All right. Let's talk about why Eric Sanchez is in the news. You've got a Kickstarter up right now. You can kickstart the name Kenny Loggins, and it'll come up. You want
That's
Kenny
right.
Loggins to play in your living room. I think that is a fantastic goal. Please explain to our listeners, if you wouldn't mind, how you got the idea to ask for this.
Absolutely. I launched LogginsLivingRoom.com about a week or so ago, a little bit over a week ago. I was on Kenny's website because he's trying to get money himself for an album that his band, the Blue Sky Riders, is putting together. So on his website, there was an exclusive tier, and it just simply said, for set amount, we will come out and play in your living room. So I reached out to the contact information on the website, and I said, yeah, it's going to be about 25 grand. And so I've set my goal to 30 grand to make up for Kickstarter fees and the Amazon payment fees because, you know, just got to take care of that. But
Eric,
yeah, so far. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Do you mind if I just butt in and ask, we're talking about Kenny Loggins?
Right.
Okay. All right.
But,
yeah. It just seems like an odd super passion to have in 2014.
That's true. I mean, So back in 2009, I reinvested my efforts into the music I listened to as a child in the back of my parents' 92 Plymouth Acclaim. And because of these streaming services like Pandora,
right.
Especially Pandora, where you can put a couple of songs together and it'll create a station for you,
right.
I dropped in, you know, Kenny Loggins, Lionel Richie. I dropped in Hall & Oates. And I made a station called Yacht Rock, basically, my own little Yacht Rock station.
Okay.
And I like to say, you know, because these are a lot of the artists you hear when you're at the dentist, so I like to say that my dentist is my DJ because those are the songs I love to listen to. So, you know, I've seen Kenny in concert twice, for the first time in 2010, and I saw him in 2011 here in D.C.
No shame in that at all, by the way. I don't know what Kevin is getting at there. I think there's nothing wrong with enjoying a little Kenny Loggins. All right, so he has a deal. This is a surprise to me because Kenny Loggins, by the way, for folks who listen to this show who don't know the name, he was a huge star in the 80s, obviously, with songs like Danger Zone from Top Gun. He had the Footloose, but he has a dozen other hits. It's a surprise to me that he would need to go the crowdfunding route to raise money for an album. I would think he would be a guy that would still get, you know, have a record company behind him, but no.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, and it's like I'm seeing artists do it. I'm also seeing directors do it. Like Spike Lee is doing it for a movie project, and it really offers fans like different incentives they would never be able to get. Like, you know, you pay a set amount and you can be an extra in a movie. And, you know, these are things you can't get normally because, you know, they'll go through the studio or they'll go, you know, over to the production company and just get it done. But it really gives, I think, a new fan experience into the way that they produce these things.
Absolutely. Here's what I like about Eric, though, is that he saw these different tiers and different things that can happen. And Kenny Loggins and his band can play in your living room. And he's not coming up with the money.
That's right.
Eric. He's asking other people to come up with the money so that Kenny Loggins can play his living room.
That's right. That's brilliant.
It's pretty smart.
The thing to keep in mind, it's not just me that's going to be in my living room. I'm going to have 49 other people. Some of them, thankfully, you know, they've been friends of mine who just want to support the cause. Some of them, they, you know, not be as diehard fans, but they just have been there to support me. And I have had some people who are just diehard Kenny Loggins fans. And you know what? I'm going to open my door and let them into the living room. I'm also going to have a live stream so people who don't want to pony up the money to be able to actually be here can watch it from their own living rooms.
That's a great idea, too. Here's what I love about you, though, Eric, and I saw you on with our friend Jimmy Kimmel Live on his TV show the other night. So Kenny's got a Kickstarter going to raise money for his album. One of the things that he's offering is he plays in your living room. You're raising money so that you can have Kenny Loggins play in your living room, yet Kenny Loggins has also donated to your Kickstarter to help out his Kickstarter. I think, as Jimmy said, it's gotten all Inception up in here.
I know. Well, you know, Kenny, and this is just a testament to Kenny Loggins, you know, he supports his fans. He wants my success. And you know, we had a Skype meeting when this whole thing started out, and he said, good luck on your campaign, man. I really want you to hit this. And he's just been a really gracious artist, and, you know, he's a cool guy, and it was really cool having that Skype meeting.
And he gave you $500 too, right?
That's right.
Unbelievable.
He paid for one of the Guillermo special seats I was advertising for the Kimmel appearance.
Now, this is – it looks like it's going to happen. You still have, what, about 15 days to go on your Kickstarter page? Where are you right now as of today, if you know, Eric?
We're – I like to say that our backers have pretty much met us halfway because we're almost at $15,000 with almost 100 backers. I still have 2 weeks. I feel really confident that we're going to make my living room the danger zone, and the cross streets are going to be the highway leading to it.
Wow.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
Wow.
Eric is the perfect guy to throw this Kenny Loggins party.
Wow.
All right. You go on to Kickstarter, and if you just search Kenny Loggins, you'll find Eric's page. Throw the man a couple of bucks and make a dream come true, and then you, from wherever you are in the world, can sit back and watch the show when it live streams as well. Eric, a great time talking to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Hope you had a good time talking to us.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you so much.
All right. Great. We hope you have a good day.
Take care.
Okay.
You
take care now.
He's already said goodbye, Kevin. You're not going to hang up on him. It's fine now.
He's fine to go. This morning at 10 o'clock, in about 35 minutes from right now or so, you can buy your tickets for UFC 178. John Bones Jones versus Daniel DC Cormier. That is going to be in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena on September the 27th. Available on pay-per-view, but there's nothing like seeing a UFC fight in person. We had a very special morning Tuesday of this week when we had both fighters come in. But because of what had happened the day before, Monday in Las Vegas at the media day, they wouldn't be in the studio together as originally planned.
That was sort of strange. We're going to have them both, and we've done that before. We have both fighters in the studio. You talk to both of them, and they're fine. But in this case, they do that little square-off thing, a little face-off pose for a photo op.
Yeah.
And they hit heads. And depending on who you talk to, one guy was the aggressor, the other. Pushing started. It was an all-out brawl.
Yeah, they fell off the
off
platform.
The stage, yeah. Right, and then a whole bunch of people had to try to break them up. So we got the chance to interview both the champ and Dan Cormier, but we couldn't interview them together. But we thought it might be interesting, especially since most people listening right now did not get a chance to listen early Tuesday morning, to hear what they both had to say about a couple of things in the UFC world, including what happened to cause that altercation on Monday in Las Vegas. And I think, Kevin, here you're talking to DC first.
Now, it looked to me like your heads met.
Yeah.
Did he headbutt you? Did you headbutt him? Or it looked to me like maybe you just both were getting too close and it was accidental.
Yeah, but it's like when he does that, like when John does that, it's like a form of dominance. He doesn't do it very often, like where he kind of goes eye to eye and face to face with people.
Right.
He usually kind of looks off to the side. Well, with me, kind of walked in, and even yesterday in his explanation, he said he just put his head down so that he can go eye to eye with me because he's so much taller. So by him putting his head down, I felt like he was, you know, and I reacted, you know. So
and you shoved him with both hands. You shoved him back.
Yes, I did.
And it was on.
And it was on. And you know what? I actually and I told him this last night. I don't know how you thought that was going to come off, but I tell you how I took it. And that's why I responded in the way that I did. I said, because in no way, shape, or form is anyone ever going to look down on me and bully me. Nobody's ever going to do that to me. I don't care who it is. I said, you know, I've got a son that I'm going to tell, don't allow anyone to do that to you, because no man should dominate you in that way, and it'll never happen. And the action, what happened wasn't appropriate, is not what should have happened, but... You know, I can't allow him to do that to me.
All right. So that's Daniel Cormier.
Yeah.
And we had John Jones in.
Well, yesterday we get up on stage and you know, they're getting ready to announce us to do a face-off. I look over at Daniel, and he had the most intense look in his face that I've ever seen. So as I was approaching him, I said to myself, oh boy, this is going to be an interesting one. I knew he wasn't going to stop walking forward. I wasn't going to stop walking forward. So literally we walked right into each other, faces, noses, rubbing together, which is common. You see that in fight sports. You see that in stare downs. Mm-hmm. I did not expect him to reach up and strike me in the throat. Instinctually, I reacted. And that's where everything kind of...
If you were objective, just watching it from the crowd, whose fault would you have thought it was?
You know, I would say it was his fault. Like I said, you know, intense stare downs are so common in sports. You know, foreheads touching, it just happens all the time. But for the first strike to be thrown, I think that's when things really went overboard. And I would say he started the whole situation.
Good edit.
We are listening to the voices of John Bones Jones and Daniel Cormier talking about UFC 178. They were in our studio earlier this week. We had to interview them separately because they couldn't be in the same room with one another. And by the way, part of the reason what happened Monday happened is because these two guys already didn't like each other. They've got a beef that goes back a number of years. And I think here we're talking to Daniel first about how that all got started. Did you guys have animosity between each other before yesterday, beyond just you respect each other as fighters and you're looking forward to September 27th?
Yeah, you know, we've had some run-ins, you know, and it's just like, it's just a sense of two guys that really don't see eye to eye. I mean...
You've never gotten along, really.
No, never. You know, and it dates back to the day we met, you know, and again, we've had to spend so much time together. Well, we're not in the same room anymore, but we're on these earpieces, and we can hear each other.
Right.
And so then we go on these interviews, and we explain the initial meeting. And now, because 4 years ago, I met John Jones, and it seems like it was a big misunderstanding. Because the way he said he put off the initial engagement, where he was like, oh, dude, I heard you're a wrestler. I bet I could take you down. To him, it was a joke and a chance to strike up a new friendship. To me, it seemed disrespectful because I'm like, well, you don't even know me. Why would you start talking about the thing that I do best
right.
to start saying that you're better? You know, so maybe in 4 years ago, it was a huge misunderstanding, and we just never talked about it, and it just escalated. And
you guys got
and
off
escalated.
To a bad start. You got off on the wrong foot, mm-hmm. and you never really got past that, too.
Yeah, because we never really talked. Like,
yeah.
I would if I saw him, I would make sure we didn't really come across each other or we would try not – it was obvious that we would actually try not to actually interact as much as you
right.
do with a lot of the other fighters.
All right. So that's Daniel Cormier. And we had John Jones.
It started off bad.
Okay.
But the way it started off is it's so ridiculous. So check this out. I'm backstage at the Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar fight. We're all backstage as fighters, and someone sees Daniel Cormier coming up to us, and we were the only group around. So I said, you know what, I see him looking at me, and, you know, I was the champion at the time. I'm sure he knew who I was, being a fighter. So I said, you know, I'm going to go up and introduce myself. So me being, you know, a charismatic guy and love meeting other guys and other fighters and stuff, I went up to him, and I was like, hey, what's up, Daniel? I'm John. And he's like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? And I'm like, so you're Kane's wrestling coach, huh? And he's like, yeah, you know, I wrestled for a while. And I'm like, oh, that's what's up, man. I was like, I don't know, man. I bet you I can take you. Oh, yeah, you look like somebody I could take down. Being sarcastic, I mean, obviously I knew that the guy, I heard the guy was an Olympic level, you know, a very elite level wrestler.
Right.
Me, I was a junior college kid. You know, so I knew, and when it came to wrestling, he probably could take me down more than I.
So you were just kidding, and he took.
I was totally kidding, and he decided to be like, "Oh, yeah." Well, when we were together, he stayed totally funny, like kind of cool about it, and blah 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 blah. And then come to find out, he did an interview, you know, maybe the same day, the next day, saying that I was this brat, and I challenged him, and I disrespect him, and how dare I not know who he was? And I was like, "Are you that prideful, bro?" Like, really? And now we're enemies now, officially enemies, over a silly introduction?
Hmm. So that's the start of the beef 4 years ago. Then you have what happened in Las Vegas at Media Day, where they're butting heads literally on Monday. Now what happens September 27th in Las Vegas? Are these guys going to be able to keep this out of their heads when they actually show up for the fight? Again, Daniel Cormier first. What happened yesterday? Is that going to be any part of what's in your mind on September 27th or no?
You know what, man? It's gonna motivate me every day, you know, to train harder, to work better, and from the actual fight to the following interviews where he seems to be very dismissive of the things that I can do and that I've done in the sport. Every day that's going to motivate me to train harder and be better on September 27th. But the moment that cage door closes, there will be no emotion. I will never allow my emotion to drive me inside of an octagon.
And John Jones.
I think when you allow anger to come into you, you cloud your mind. You cloud your logical thinking. So what I'll do is I'll use the frustration that I have in training. You know, those days where I've worked out three times already, my body's exhausted, and I'm thinking, you know, the smart thing to do is sit here and recover, hydrate, get ready for tomorrow. But the frustration that I have will actually empower me to get up one more time, overtrain my body for that day, and look forward to recovering on the weekend. So I use it to my advantage. There's a quote that says, you know, fire can consume you, or you can learn to channel it and shoot it against your enemy. And that's what I'm doing. He's giving me an ultra rage and fire, and I'm going to use it against him when it comes to training.
I can't wait. That's going to be a hell of a fight for the light heavyweight crown. Jones versus Cormier, UFC 178, is going to be September 27th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. You can buy those tickets to be there in person at Ticketmaster.com at 10 o'clock this morning. Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Right. Thank you, bye.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. It's my bad. I blame myself for that.
Maybe she was going to thank you guys. I sent over some nude pictures that I just took, a new photo shoot.
Did you feel like you don't hang up on me?
Did you feel that that's the way
that's what sense,
conversation
was
going?
Was coming, yes. I think Bean's charm won her over. I think she couldn't resist.
See? By the way, how about some points for not at all creepy?
I have to say, you were remarkably less creepy than we expected.
That's correct. It's Megan Fox, and I wasn't creepy, okay?
Look, trust me.
Back off.
Nobody was more surprised than I was.
Ralph is here now, time for the Showbiz Beat to close out a Friday and an entire week of Kevin and Bean shows. What you got?
And people say to me, you know, oh, you're so hard on Bean. Why are you so mean to Bean? I love Bean. He's the best.
No one says that.
Well, not many.
Okay.
But, look, I don't want to feel this way. It's not a choice I make.
You don't have any other option.
Right. It's not like, I'm just going to randomly pick Bean out and start picking on him. That's not the way it works, people. You have to understand the constant barrage. It would wear down any man. Gandhi would kick Bean in the shins.
And eat a cheeseburger.
I mean, I do my best to try to limit my exposure. I've blocked him on Twitter. I don't hang out here in the studio unless I'm getting ready to do a little segment or something. I do what I can.
Ralph comes in to do the showbiz and we'll go, we have 30 seconds. He'll walk right back out.
No time for chit-chat.
But then I get an email from Bean today. I'm minding my business in the office. I've removed myself.
Okay.
I've disconnected. Now, I have to have email contact because we need to talk about stuff for the show.
Right.
So I thought, you know, that limited amount of contact would keep me safe.
You'd be all right.
Got an email from this morning.
Saying what?
Saying that almonds have surpassed peanuts as America's favorite nut. That happened.
I thought you would be interested in that
what?
News.
What?
I'm a fan of that because normally we have to suffer through that in here.
That's why I'm not in here.
Right. So I love the idea that perhaps he's going to share it in other ways with other people.
Now I'm getting bean spammed via my email.
Yeah. It's not spam. First of all,
you got to block his email.
Peanuts have been the most popular nut in America for decades. And the fact that it has now been overtaken by almonds is pretty significant news, you guys. I think you'll agree.
Oh, you.
You know, technically, a peanut is a legume. It's not even a nut. Bean.
Boom!
Get your facts straight.
But I believe we all know
boom!
When we're talking about nuts.
I'm just
no,
saying.
No. Boom! Lisa just dropped the mic.
Just saying.
Just walked up the stage. Hit you with the legume knowledge right there.
I'm just saying almonds over peanuts was a big surprise to me. And
we're
I
just saying shut the F up.
And I knew, Ralph, that you also would be interested in that information.
What?
What more can you
do? What do I do that would lend you to believe that that would be the case?
He'd sent that because he knew it would upset you.
We've talked about peanuts on the show before.
He sent that because he knew he would get a reaction.
You're with
out
me
of
that cashews are the best nuts, right? The only reason they're not higher up on this list is because they're too expensive.
Feed, no one cares about this topic.
I don't have a ranking of nuts. I just eat nuts sometimes. Whatever's there, I like to eat them.
Well, then you're not staying current.
Right. So don't involve him in your email nonsense.
Almonds have surpassed peanuts as America's favorite nut.
That's late breaking news that I think is worth sharing.
Well, you're wrong. Speaking of late breaking, this week we've got a brand new song from the Ark Music Factory. You know, the Ark Music people. They
Friday,
do good work.
Friday,
they
Friday.
Sure, they stole our hearts with Friday by sure. Rebecca Black. But then the power and the majesty continued with Nicole Westbrook's It's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Remember, yams, potatoes, save me a drumstick, remember?
That's right.
And then the pantheon of food-related pop songs continued with Alison Gold's Chinese Food.
That's right. Right.
I love Chinese food. Yeah!
All of his songs, by the way, have yeah in them, every one of them.
They sure do.
And food.
And the new song, Cupcakes, is no different. The only thing that separates this from me from the other classic work of Patrice Wilson, the genius behind Ark Music, is he's gone from taking prepubescent young girls and making them oddly sexual and apparently hungry.
Uncomfortably so, yeah.
And now he's dealing with a woman who's got to be, I don't know, 35 years old, but she dresses like she's a tween, which yeah. is disturbing on a whole new level.
Right.
But they're continuing their fixation with food with the new smash hit that I hope you all enjoy called Cupcakes.
Cupcakes, cupcakes, 4 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm getting hungry. Think about this by my side. Working all day, working all night. Now it's time to have cupcakes. Everybody put your hands up. Everybody in the house. I never know why I get so hungry for cupcakes. And when I wanna cry, I need more of cupcakes. Somebody please give me some cupcakes. I'll take yours if you're not eating it. Give me one of those.
And then it goes into a very hooky, give me some cupcakes.
Yeah, we don't have the hook. We just have the rap. We didn't have the
song. Give me one of those cupcakes. Hey, hey. With the sprinkles on top. With the sprinkles on top. With the sprinkles on top.
She loves the sprinkles.
Give me one of those cupcakes.
Yeah, that's Gina Naomi Baez there.
That's a song.
Throughout the video, she's in the park with a box of cupcakes, throwing them at homeless people.
Who catch them.
Yeah. And children on the playground who miss them, but I'm guessing pick them up and scrape the dirt off them and eat them anyway.
Of course.
And it's just a big cupcake festival. Just people just loving cupcakes.
This Patrice Wilson, the mastermind behind all these songs, has been difficult to get. We've had him booked, and then he's canceled on us before. But do you think he's making a ton of money off of these videos? Because they're so bad, they go viral, and he gets money off of people looking at them on YouTube, right?
I don't know what his deal with YouTube is. Not every YouTuber gets money, but I think over a certain amount, you start getting a piece of the advertising, right?
Right.
And
Fridays was...
And keep in mind, these people pay him to make these songs.
Right.
So you got to
right.
pony up a big check before he will write you one of his magnum opuses.
So he can't
and record
money
your video and write the song for you. He's getting, I don't know, $5,000-$6,000 up front just to do that.
So he's probably ahead when the video even hits the internet.
He's out the cost of the cupcakes.
That's true.
He does have to pay for the cupcakes.
I don't know where he got them from, but they can get pricey. And they talk about all the flavors of the cupcakes, too, deep in the song, which is one of my favorite parts. Vanilla, yeah. Chocolate, yeah. And, of course, red velvet. Margarita, if you're feeling ambitious.
That is not a thing.
We got to get a beer mug song for Patrice Wilson, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But didn't we try with the Armenian comedian? Didn't he back out?
Yeah, well.
We had a deal with him or something.
Look,
not a deal, but.
Look, I would back out, too, if I had to make an Armenian comedian.
That's a good
but I think
point.
Beer mug, he could make it happen. He could do some magic. All right. This is a good idea, and I can't believe it didn't come sooner. Universal Pictures has announced they picked up the rights to all of Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicle books to make into a series of films. Now, you may remember they did Interview with a Vampire with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise back in 1994. That was a pretty strong performer for Warner Brothers. And they did a sequel to that called The Vampire Chronicles. That was Aaliyah and Stuart Townsend in 2002. That did not do so well. But they're going to reboot the franchise using her books as source material. And I think, how did they miss this?
Oh, hasn't
Vampires have been white hot for half a decade. You'd think for sure they would have trotted out the material. But
just watching The Strain? That's a good show.
No,
that's
I,
a good show.
You know, the worm out of the eye poster
that's a good
did
show.
Me in. I was like, I don't think I'm even going to venture into this.
Well,
place.
it's not all a worm coming out of an eye.
But at some point it does,
yeah,
right? Well, I'm out. I don't want to be that. I don't catch that by accident.
That's a good series. I love that.
Yeah, so Vampires could not be hotter.
But keep talking about The Strain, Kevin.
It's about vampires.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Why don't you shut the F up? I'm tired of your crap, too.
I almost cursed.
Real quick to jump on our man Kevin there.
Come on.
When he's right. I mean, I understand jumping on when he's wrong. You can't start beating him up when he's right, too.
I don't know. I just heard the thing about the worm in the eye, and I thought, well, that's we're not talking about vampires
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they do. The vampirism is, vampires. Like a, it's like a virus. That's how you become a vampire.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I take it back.
All right.
You hear about the peanuts, though? Wow.
Yeah, right. You know all about the peanut ranking, but you don't know anything about the strain. All right, it's time to go home now.
It's so time to go home.
All right.
And maybe not come back.
Celebrity birthdays. Dustin Hoffman, 77. The Edge of U2 is 53. Scott Stapp's 41. Megan Good's 33. And Roger Federer, a tennis player, is 33 years old today. Come see me and Kevin Smith tomorrow night, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose.
Wow, he's got that ready.
Go to improv.com to get your tickets. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank. She said thank.
Thank.
That's what she was going to say.
Thank.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Worst episode ever.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That happened.
Roll another one.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Just like the other one.
It's time to get paid.
This one seems to be about to quit.
About beer and hot wings.
Another
year.
Bye-bye.
There you go.
Oops. You hung up on Alpha Guard.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
That makes you a bad person.
Roll another one.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
Just like
I get to know you, the less I like you.
Ow! Yep, sore nipples.
I don't have another cent.
Whoa, did you feel that? I think our periods just synchronized.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Just pass it around.
What? What?
Such a hard question.
Liars. Liars and deceivers. Get out. Get out of here. And don't ever, ever come back.
Hey, guys. I'd just like to say, you, Kevin. You, Dean. You, Ralph. You, Omar. You, King of Mexico. Lisa May, you're cool. I'm out.
Arrivederci.
Hasta la vista.
Adios.
Adios, muchachos, compañeros.
When you get out of here.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Thug Live.